Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Said a word since you were a baby, because we know from a wide variety of left-leaning studies that babies begin to get racist around 3 months. I'm not kidding. These articles have been reported in NBC News. This means that basically the only people we should be allowing to have any sort of influence in public life are people who have not spoken a word since they were capable of speaking. Basically, anybody who has spoken, like when you learned language as a toddler, when you were like 13, 14 months old and you really started to learn how to say words, at that point, you need to shut the hell up. You need to shut the hell up all the way until you want a job at Teen Vogue. That is the way this now works, is that nothing you say is off limits. Everything you have ever said is going to be held over your head for all time. Because what we have created in this country is an arbitrary system of justice whereby, since everything is online and since we can basically surveil everything that you have ever said, we can always dig up something from your past to hit you with. We can always, if you become inconvenient, we can just punish you. And see, there's this notion in law that selective prosecution is a bad thing, that if you're holding one person to a standard and everybody else to a different standard, that is unfair. But that is the way that our social media, social justice crowd works right now, is that the standards are completely arbitrary. The points don't matter. And then we name a winner, right? It's whose line is it anyway? At any given point, we can go back into your past, pluck a thing that you said, and then we can use it to hit you over the head, even if you've apologized for or explained it away 10 million times. And this is exactly what happened to Alexei McCammon. Now, listen, some of us here on the right are willing to defend people on the left or in the center who get canceled for no reason other than the animus and spite of a bunch of woke staffers who have decided that they are the purity police and have decided they don't want this particular person in power at this particular time. Because make no mistake, this is not about a principled stand that anyone who has ever said anything bad must be ousted, because we've all said things that are bad. We all have bad social media posts. If you've been online for more than a couple of years, the chances that you have said something at some point that is unpleasant are really, really high. In fact, if you've ever used email or text messages, if you've ever been on WhatsApp, if you've ever been on like a group board, if you've ever done any of those things, the chances that you have said something that could be taken out of context or misinterpreted or that you actually said something bad are 193%. Because we're all human and we all sin. As it says in Ecclesiastes, we have all sinned, every single one of us. Okay, but we have a society where we can arbitrarily choose which sins to bring up at any given time, and then we can choose to just destroy you. So this is what just happened to Alexei McCammon. Now, Alexei McCammon is not a member of the right. Alexei McCammon is a member of the left. Alexei McCammon was hired by Teen Vogue specifically because they said they wanted to make their editorial page and their editorial oversight more diverse. Alexei McCammon is a black woman. Well, now she's been ousted from her job at Teen Vogue because a bunch of 23-year-old woke staffers decided that tweets that she sent when she was a freshman in college, okay, like 10 years ago, are bad and racist. And they are. They're not good tweets. But that this is an excuse for now denying her a career promotion. And this is usually how it works. Well, usually, Alexei McCammon wasn't canceled when she was over at Axios. Alexei McCammon wasn't canceled when she was reporting stories from the White House. Alexei McCammon was canceled when she felt that she had reached the apex of her career thus far. The same thing happened with Kevin Hart. In other words, keep your head down. Try not to get any level of career advancement. The moment that you advance a little bit, that is when they club you. Right? Same thing with Gina Carano. As soon as Gina Carano hits The Mandalorian, suddenly the hate comes out. As soon as Chris Pratt is doing Guardians of the Galaxy, that's when all the hate comes out. The higher you rise in your career, the more people want to tear you down, and so they will just bring up anything from the past in an attempt to smear you and destroy you, and it doesn't matter, again, whether you've repented, because we are not a culture of repentance. We are a culture of graceless jackassery. According to the New York Times, Alexis McCammon, who made her name as a politics reporter at the Washington news site Axios, had planned to start as the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue next Wednesday. Now, after Teen Vogue staff members publicly condemned racist and homophobic tweets, Ms. McCammon had posted, she has resigned from the job. Condé Nast is Teen Vogue's publisher. They announced the abrupt turn on Thursday in an internal email that was sent amid pressure from the publication's staff readers and at least two advertisers just 2 weeks after the company had appointed her to the position. So Alexis McCammon put out a statement about this. So did HR, obviously, because you always have to have a statement from HR. Alexis McCammon's statement was an announcement, of course, that she had that she was no longer going to be the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue. She wrote, quote, I became a journalist to help lift up stories and voices of our most vulnerable communities. Again, she's not a member of the right. As a young woman of color, that's part of the reason I was so excited to lead the Teen Vogue team in its next chapter. My past tweets have overshadowed the work I've done to highlight the people and issues I care about, issues that Teen Vogue has worked so tirelessly to share with the world. First of all, does anyone understand the irony of Teen Vogue, which is the teen version of a fashion magazine, like a high fashion magazine, deciding that they are now the moral police? Teen Vogue? That's where you go for your political morality? Teen Vogue, which writes pieces every few days about how socialism is wonderful? Hey, Condé Nast and I have decided to part ways, says Alexis McCammon. I should not have tweeted what I did, and I have taken full responsibility for that. I look at my work and growth in the years since and have redoubled my commitment to growing in the years to come as a person and as a professional. I wish the talented team at Teen Vogue the absolute best moving forward. Their work has never been more important. I will be rooting for them. There are so many stories left to be told, especially about marginalized communities and the issues affecting them. I hope to have the opportunity to rejoin the ranks of tireless journalists who are shining light on the issues that matter every single day. Okay, so we'll see who hires her next. Because apparently advertisers are so afraid of this, they are so cowed by the woke staffers, that they are deeply concerned that if Alexis McCammon were to edit Teen Vogue and they were to be associated with that person, then they would lose, what, their consumer base? The sheer cowardice of people in institutional power and the sheer brazenness of all the woke staffers who decide that they get to decide who their bosses are is pretty impressive. It's more of this in just 1 second first. Attention, savvy investors. This is Ben Shapiro. Looking for predictable monthly cash flow? Is a 10% annualized immediate monthly payout good for starters? How about bonuses targeted to 21%? If you want the safety and security of a real estate investment, but without the hassle of being a landlord, you probably heard of NRIA. NRIA is an industry-leading real estate development firm in its 15th year, developing strategically located, low-risk, high-demand neighborhoods based on supply-demand imbalance. They're a great fit for safety-oriented investors who want cash flow and diversification into carefully chosen real estate. Learn more about the NRIA Real Estate Development Fund at NRIA.net or call 800-800-1414. That's 800-800-1414. An offer of securities is only made by the NRIA Private Placement Memorandum. Read it first. Past performance does not guarantee future results. NRIA is a real estate development firm. Learn more at NRIA.net. Again, if a bunch of employees at the Daily Wire came to me and they were like, you know what? We don't like the stuff that you've been saying on your show. And so you're supposed to now fire yourself. My answer would be, no, that's not your job. The Teen Vogue publisher should have said to the woke staffers, guess what? You don't get to appoint the EIC. I get to appoint the EIC. But all of these companies are so afraid of their own staff, and they're so afraid they're going to be accused in other media outlets of being racist and terrible, that they're so afraid they just fired a black editor. Okay, Alexis McCammon is a black woman. That didn't save her. Because she crossed swords with the woke, because the woke decided they didn't like her enough. Condé Nast, their HR department, put out an entire statement and said, hi, everyone. Yashika Olden, our chief diversity and inclusion officer. Again, the chief diversity and inclusion officer is the most Orwellian title in all of American corporate life. Because it's not about inclusion or about diversity, certainly not on an ideological level. It's about complete corporate conformity rammed down from the absolute top. That is what the chief diversity and inclusion officer always is. And it's a $1 billion industry. In multi-billion dollars. And as of 1990 or something, we were spending $8 billion on diversity initiatives at these various companies. Now it's got to be a multiple of that, obviously. Yashika Olden, our chief diversity and inclusion officer, i.e. a professional useless person, and I have had conversations with many of you over the past week. We know this has been a challenging time for so many. Really, was it a challenge? Was it a super challenging time that you read a tweet that was 10 years old from a freshman in college, and you thought to yourself, God, my life is ruined. Why don't I just get rid of this person? Our most important work as a company right now is embodied in the focused efforts we are all undertaking to become more equitable and inclusive. By equitable and inclusive, they mean not inclusive, and we need to fire somebody. Our commitment to these issues is sincere and unwavering. It is fair to say that Alexi McCammon's appointment with Teen Vogue brought many difficult and important conversations to the forefront over the last few weeks. I want to be fully transparent with you about our decision-making process regarding her appointment. When Alexi was a teenager, she made racially charged statements on social media about Asian people. Alexi was straightforward and transparent about these posts during our interview process and through public apologies years ago. Okay, so that should be the end of the conversation. It's one thing if the company says, I was sandbagged, right? I had no idea that this stuff was out. I found out. Well, that changes the math. But they knew. She had dealt with it in the interview process. And this company was still so pusillanimous, still so cowardly, they decided to dump her on the side of the road. After saying, yeah, we see what you did, and we accept your explanation and your apology and time. It's amazing, amazing stuff, right? So they're actually reversing their own grace that they had given this woman. Given her previous acknowledgments of these posts and her sincere apologies, in addition to her remarkable work in journalism, elevating the voices of marginalized communities. By the way, all of that kind of stuff where they talk about journalism elevating the voice of the marginalized, that is an ideological goal. Right? Journalism is usually covering the news. But now you are considered a good journalist if you are ideologically driven to cover certain stories at the expense of other stories. So that is a side point. They say, we were looking forward to welcoming her into our community. In addition, we were hopeful that Alexi would become part of our team to provide perspective and insight that is underrepresented throughout media. We were dedicated to making her successful in this role and spent time working with her, our company leadership, and the Teen Vogue team to find the best path forward. To that end, after speaking with Alexi this morning, we agreed it was best to part ways so as to not overshadow the important work happening at Teen Vogue. Again, all that important work. You need that important work about various sexual positions as well as the latest in Lady Gaga's makeup. I'm including the note she shared on Twitter today. As always, the People team and I are here to support you and answer any and all questions you may have. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your patience with us. What patience? We're available to meet with you and your teams to continue these important conversations. Amazing, amazing stuff from HR. Again, it's a graceless, terrible society, and the cancellations will continue until morale improves. Now, I got to tell you, as a conservative, I'm rooting for the cancellation. I'm rooting for the cancelers. I'm rooting for the cancelers at this point. I hope that they cancel everybody on the left side of the aisle so that they learn that cancellation is bad. Okay, because if they got to burn down the village in order to save the village, go for it, guys. I'm rooting for you. I'm here for you. You guys want to cancel a bunch of decent people who are attempting to do good work because you are graceless jerks? Guess what? Plenty of room on this side of the aisle for you. You want to wish everybody out in the cornfield? Eventually, there are going to be enough of us here out in the cornfield that we vastly outnumber you. Okay, so you want to continue doing this? You're just going to open business opportunities for those of us who do not accept the fundamental basis of the nonsense you are now proposing. You want to keep canceling Gina Carano? I'll just hire her. You want to cancel a bunch of journalists? We'll hire them. You woke corporations decide that you want to cater to your woke base? We'll just form corporations that are not woke, and we'll cater to a much broader and more diverse base, ideologically and racially speaking, probably. Just keep doing it, guys. Just keep it up. You're doing great. You're making America a better place one cancellation at a time. And then what's amazing is that these people actually think that they're making the country more pure. They probably do. I mean, I'm going to grant them the purity of their intent. Or is it just that they have nothing better to do and their lives are empty? The people who spend their days trolling the internet for bad old comments to cancel people. Their lives are empty. They have no sense of community. They have no sense of grace because they don't actually deal with human beings. They just deal with people online and they go for the retweets and the clicks. And so the goal is the destruction of other human beings for fun and profit. But guess what? At a certain point, the fun stops being fun and you're going to make those of us who are not on the side of the cancelers, the actual profitable ones. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. You're stuffing money in the pockets of your political opponents. You're giving us all political credibility. So I hope that this continues, and I hope the Democratic Party continues to cater to it. I hope the folks at Teen Vogue continue to do this sort of stuff, because eventually it's just going to be the woke talking to themselves. That is the choice that they made, by the way. The way this works is that the only way Alexi McCammon could have gotten out of this, presumably, was not only to apologize for her past commentary, but to have joined the Borg, to have assimilated to the Borg, and found them another target for them to attack. Right? Don't kill me. Kill that person over there. But Alexi McCammon didn't do that. Or maybe it didn't matter. Maybe no matter what she did, they were going to take her down. And the fact that you have now brought me to the point where I've now defended, over the past few years, Sarah Zhang, who's awful, Alexi McCammon, with whom James Gunn, who I wildly disagree with and is in favor of cancel culture and is awful, I will defend people from having their lives ruined, because these rules are not rules that anybody can live by. But if the left continues to live by these rules, they're going to alienate everybody, and good. Good. I hope they do continue this. I hope they alienate everybody. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, spring is springing. It's becoming beautiful outside. Now is a perfect reminder to tidy up and get your life in order. Why not start by protecting your family with life insurance? Policy Genius can help you compare top insurers in one place and save 50% or more. Once you find your best option, the Policy Genius team will help set up a new policy for you and answer any questions you have along the way. Here's how you get started. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need. You can compare quotes and find your best price. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare policies from as little as $15 a month. You might even be eligible to skip that in-person medical exam. Since their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, there's zero hassle. If you hit any speed bumps during the application process, Policy Genius will take care of everything for you, soup to nuts. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. The best part? All the benefits of Policy Genius, the comparison tool, the handling of paperwork, the unbiased advice, they're totally free to use. So, while you are tidying up around the house this spring, why not get your life insurance organized as well? You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes and feel good knowing that if something happens, your loved ones will be taken care of. Go to PolicyGenius.com to get started. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, the Biden administration COVID policy is completely incoherent. On the one hand, they want to brag about how well Biden has done with COVID policy. On the other hand, they want to say you need to wear a mask until the end of time. We'll bring you the latest. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
Because of you, I found the resources I needed.
Because of you, I found the right doctor.
Because of you, I'm not alone.
These are words we cherish at the Sarcoma Alliance. Each year, thousands of Americans of all ages are diagnosed with sarcoma, the rare 1% of all cancers. The Sarcoma Alliance is there during their difficult journey, providing education, guidance, and connection. Learn more at sarcomaalliance.org, sponsored by the Sarcoma Alliance.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivint camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. My Vivint security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is, I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone, whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivint, all is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivint today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivint, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivint representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivint.com for licensing information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Biden administration COVID policy, completely incoherent. On the one hand, they want you to lock down for the rest of time and wear a mask forever. On the other hand, their vaccine rollout's just been spectacular. COVID policy continues to be a contentious issue. It is amazing to see the Biden administration continue to downplay, simultaneously upplay the success that they've had on vaccine distribution and downplay the actual effectiveness of the vaccines. It's kind of a weird combo. Because on the one hand, they want to say that Biden's done a wonderful job tranching out the vaccines, which the administration has done fine. They're not going to pretend they've done horribly. They haven't done, like, amazing. Again, by the end of February, they were supposed to have 100 federal mass vaccination sites. They had 7. It's the states that have been doing all the heavy lifting with regard to the vaccinations. But they've been talking up Joe Biden's performance on COVID. At the same time, they've been saying that we have to wear masks until the end of time because, you know, the vaccines might not solve all the problems and all of this. They've been saying the schools have to remain closed, but the schools can kind of open, but they should remain closed. Their COVID policy, in other words, has been a bag of garbage, but they want it both ways. We're doing a great job on COVID, and also COVID still haunts the land, which is why you need us. Now, here's the thing. In order to promote that, they have to promote a bunch of bad science. So yesterday, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, he questioned the great and glorious Dr. Anthony Fauci, second best doctor in America after Dr. Joe Biden, who, of course, will diagnose you with a need for a junior college degree should you have a heart attack. Dr. Anthony Fauci appearing in front of Rand Paul's committee. And Rand Paul points out that once you are vaccinated, once you've gone through the vaccinations, and once you have had COVID, then wearing a mask is essentially theater. That you are wearing a mask because it makes other people feel comfortable. But the reality is that if you want people to get the vaccine, if you want to cut down on vaccine hesitancy, what you tell people is you can go back to regular life after you've had both doses of the vaccine and you're 2 weeks past the last dose. He's right. He's absolutely right. Rand Paul in this exchange is 100% correct, and Dr. Anthony Fauci is wrong. Scientifically speaking, Rand Paul is correct. I checked the work. Okay, so I went to Dr. Marty Makary, frequent guest on the program from Johns Hopkins University, and I said, in this exchange, who is right, Fauci or Paul? He said, Fauci's just wrong. Okay, so the case that you're about to hear Rand Paul make is that once you're vaccinated or once you've had COVID, you are now immune. We don't know how long the immunity lasts, but we do know that the immunity is pretty damn good, and there is no countervailing data that suggests widespread second infections. And so once you do that, why are we worried about you wearing a mask? We shouldn't care whether you wear a mask at that point. And he says to him, you know, Dr. Fauci, what you're doing is just for show, right? You've been vaccinated. So why exactly are you double masking? It's just pretend at this point. And Fauci's answer, which is that there might still be variants out there, is an answer without a limiting principle. It's like saying sometime in the future, an asteroid could hit Earth. So we better prepare for it now. Okay, well, I mean, how? By wearing a mask every single day? He says that there could be variants that come along that are really bad. Yes, and there could be a brand new pandemic tomorrow that could be really bad. So maybe we should just keep wearing masks forever. The point that he is making is not scientifically correct. The vaccines have been extraordinarily resilient against virtually all of the variants. There is one single situation, I believe, in Brazil, in a very small area, where there was a variant that did not end up spreading beyond that had some secondary infections. But there is very little evidence at this point at all no major study, as Rand Paul points out, that suggests that if you're vaccinated or if you've had COVID, that you should be deeply worried about a second wave of COVID from a variant. So why are you wearing a mask? Here's Rand Paul pointing this out to Fauci, and Fauci getting angry that he's being called on the carpet.
What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
You have a vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts. In the South African study conducted by J&J, they found that people who were infected with wild type and were exposed to the variant in South Africa, the 351, it was as if they had never been infected before. They had no protection.
Okay, except for the fact that when these South African variants have hit Europe, when they've hit the United States, in places where there's been mass vaccination, you're not seeing secondary infections. Right? There is no evidence in the United States at all, and as far as I'm aware, no evidence in Europe, that there has been widespread secondary infection of people who have already been infected with COVID from the variants. Right? The variants are, in fact, variants. Okay? Some of them spread faster. Some of them are apparently more deadly. But vaccination has, thus far, been extraordinarily resilient to that. And if you've already had COVID, the generalized notion that the variants are now going to reinfect you and kill you, maybe you get reinfected, but the severity of the infection is another matter that matters here. The masks are, in fact, theater at this point if you've already been vaccinated. Alrighty, coming up, we'll bring you all the updates on this horrific Atlanta shooting. The left has its narrative, and that is that American racism is to blame for what just happened, and specifically, white American racism is to blame for what happened, as well as an upsurge in anti-Asian violence. And we will examine this particular claim. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
California State Senator has recently introduced the Religion is Essential Act. For future emergencies, this bill will protect religious organizations from discrimination and any health, safety, and occupancy requirements that will impose a substantial burden on a religious service.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Meet Bob Minetti. In 2016, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Bob participated in a clinical trial that included cutting-edge radiation therapy and surgery. He's been in remission since completion. I'm Keisha Sharp. Since losing my mother to pancreatic cancer, I've been working to share the kind of state-of-the-art work being done by Stand Up to Cancer and Lusk Garden Foundation. To learn more about the latest research, including clinical trials, visit pancreaticcancercollective.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So it turns out evidence is unnecessary when the left is on a roll. The entire media has decided that this shooting in Atlanta is once again evidence of America's widespread white supremacy, which is a weird take considering, again, we have no evidence at this point that the accused gunman, the alleged gunman, that this piece of crap targeted the women because of race. We have fairly good evidence at this point that he targeted these particular places because they were sex shops that he had visited before. According to the New York Times, he checked himself into a rehab clinic for a self-described sexual addiction. He was so intent on avoiding pornography, he blocked websites from his computer and only used a flip phone. He worried to a roommate about falling out of God's grace. Months before, the shooter, we don't mention shooter's names on the show, was charged with carrying out a bloody rampage at three massage parlors that horrified the nation and stoked a furious outcry over anti-Asian violence. The 21-year-old suspect, who'd grown up in a conservative Baptist church, appeared fixated on guilt and lust. As investigators on Thursday pieced it together whether and how racism and sexism might have motivated Tuesday's attacks, people who knew the shooter offered new details about a dangerous collision of sexual loathing and what a former roommate described as religious mania that marked his life in the years before the shooting spree. This guy went to a church that strictly prohibited sex outside of marriage, was distraught by his failed attempts to curb his sexual urges, said a former roommate. Nearly once a month, he would admit he had again relapsed by visiting a massage parlor for sex, said the roommate. He once asked the roommate to take his computer away from him. Atlanta police said on Thursday that the shooter had been a customer at two spas in the city that were targeted in the attacks that killed eight people overall, including six women of Asian descent. They did not specify whether he had sought anything more than a massage at the two businesses, Aromatherapy Spa and Gold Spa, both of which appear on sort of sex place listings online, apparently. Apparently, when the shooter was arrested, he said he was on his way to Florida to carry out another attack on a business tied to the pornography industry. He's been charged with eight counts of murder. Okay, so it seems pretty obvious that this is chiefly not about race. Right? That what this is chiefly about is this guy's perverse views on sex, his blaming women in the sex trade for his own inability to control himself. That seems like, and there are plenty of issues to discuss there, but race is pretty low on the evidence-based issues to discuss. Again, there's not a lot of evidence that this guy was doing this because he hated Asian people. There's a fair bit of evidence that he was doing this because he hated sex workers, right? He hated massage shops that were actually brothels. Now, the Atlanta police have come under a lot of fire because the Atlanta police have just reported what this guy said. Here is the deputy police chief, Charles Hampton, saying that he doesn't have a position on whether it was a hate crime or not because they literally have no evidence at this point it was a hate crime.
The investigation into a possible hate crime, that's still on the table.
Our investigation is looking at everything, so nothing is off the table for our investigation.
What is APD's position on that?
I don't have a position. Like I said, I'm only going to comment about our investigation. And again, we're not prepared to talk a lot about what has been said because, again, we're not trying to try the case in public.
But the media are hungry for a narrative. How hungry are they for a narrative? There is a police spokesperson yesterday who did a presser on this and talked about how the suspect had said that he had a really bad day. Right? That's what the suspect said. He didn't say, I think he had a really bad day. He said the suspect told us that he had a really bad day. So he was narrating what the suspect had said. There's a jackass online named Aaron Rupar. He's a terrible, terrible source of misinformation. He frequently cuts things out of context and then just puts them up. He put up the clip as though the police chief, the police spokesperson, was making the claim that this guy had a really bad day and somehow this justified the murders. That is not true. I mean, it's overtly not true. If you just look at the entirety of the clip, what you'll see is that the police spokesperson was relaying what the suspect had said. The blowback against the police officer was so strong that people were calling for his firing. People were saying the police officer should be fired for even narrating the words of what the suspect had told them. Because the narrative is obvious, right? The narrative is that this was anti-Asian animus, that it was an anti-Asian hate crime. And the reason the media are intent and focusing on this particular story as an anti-Asian hate crime is because their narrative is anytime there is hate and it can be tied to broader American quote-unquote whiteness, then we can talk about racial hatred. Yes, now, I want to make a correction on yesterday's show. So yesterday's show, I talked about violent crime statistics by community. And I pointed out that violent crime statistics by community, if you look at the victimizers of Asian people in violent crime, it was disproportionately Black people who were targeting Asian. That was not hate crime statistics, okay? So that could just be casual crime. That could just be a Black person robbed an Asian person or something. And when I say disproportionate, I mean that about 24% of all crimes committed against Asians were by Asians. About 24% are committed by whites against Asians, and about 25% are committed by black people against Asians. But that's normal, everyday crime. I mean, that's not necessarily racially motivated. So I want to correct the record on that, okay, because that was wrong. The information was incorrect. What we do know is that according to the FBI statistics, there were more than 4,000 hate crimes in the United States in 2019. About 4.4% of those were committed against Asian Americans, which amounts to about 220 crimes against Asian Americans. They don't give the source of the crimes, so we don't actually know who is committing the hate crimes against Asian Americans. But we have no evidence, by the same token, to suggest that it is quote-unquote white supremacy that is responsible for the uptick in anti-Asian violence. And the anecdotal evidence shows that there's been a pretty significant spike in violent crime, including in the major cities, that are not being done by white people predominantly. Right? If you look at a major crime uptick in New York City, there's been a major murder uptick in New York City, major murder uptick in Los Angeles. If you look at that, you wouldn't automatically say, well, that's an outgrowth of white supremacy. That'd be a weird take. So if you say there's been an elevated level of crime in New York City against Asian Americans or in Los Angeles against Asian Americans, and your first take is that's white supremacy, these cities are extremely racially diverse. These cities are very much to the left. The notion that you had a bunch of red-hatted MAGA trolls who, you know, people who are like, well, you know, he said Chinese virus. I'm going to go target a Chinese person today. That's what's been happening in America's major cities, which is where most of the spike is happening. Kind of a weird take. Certainly evidence-free. There's no basis for in evidence for that. But the narrative must be promulgated at all costs because the narrative is always the same. America broadly writ is to blame, and America broadly writ is a white supremacist country, and thus any bad thing that happens is attributable to the white supremacy. I didn't see the argument that even if it is disproportionately black people who are harming Asian American people in the United States, that that is an outgrowth of white supremacy because our white supremacist system has forced conflict between minorities. It's the atheists will talk about how religious people who don't know how to defend their religion will kind of use the God of the gaps argument. We don't know why X happened, therefore God. There is a racism of the gaps argument, a white supremacy of the gaps argument that is frequently used, not just frequently, ubiquitously used by the left. Something bad happens, therefore, racism of the gaps, right? White supremacy of the gaps. We don't know why there's been this uptick in anti-Asian crime. White supremacy, it must be white supremacy. It must be Trump. It must be a bunch of things that I don't like. It can never be the possibility that maybe there's a disproportionate amount of minority-on-minority violence in this particular situation, which, by the way, again, if you look at the overall crime statistics, there is a disproportionate amount of black on Asian violence just by percentages of population. Okay, we'll get some more of this in just one second, because this also goes to which kind of stories are ignored by the media and which kind of stories are covered by the media and how exactly the media cover these stories. The broader point here, which is that the media are blaming the right wing for this without any evidence whatsoever at this point, that's undeniable. The editorial board at the New York Times says Asian Americans are scared for a reason. Bigotry and demagoguing have pushed communities close to a crisis point. So the suggestion, of course, is once again that it was Donald Trump that is responsible for the uptick in anti-Asian crime, even though the uptick in anti-Asian crime is happening almost entirely in large metropolitan blue areas. After a year of vitriol and violence against Asian Americans amid the coronavirus pandemic, it's long past time to admit the country has a problem. A year ago this month, after the pandemic had already established a beachhead in the United States, this board wrote, there's a long history of diseases triggering waves of violence against Jews during the Black Death, right through the animus linked to Ebola, SARS, and Zika. Chinese Americans and other Asians lumped together with them by racists are being beaten, spat on, yelled at, insulted from coast to coast. The president then was Donald Trump. Mr. Trump said China virus again this week during a Fox News interview. There is no evidence that this was driven by Trump saying China virus. And by the way, the virus did come from China. That is not an anti-Asian sentiment. That's asinine. That's like saying that the South African variant of the virus should be blamed on South Africans, or the Brazilian variant of the virus should be blamed on Brazilians. It's just a location. The Spanish flu, it does not mean that you're supposed to be a racist against people who originate from Spain. And again, there's no evidence to suggest that this is a result of Trump saying China virus over and over and over. But the message has to be promulgated, and this is a broader problem. Our media are basically now saying that anytime a crime is committed by a white person against a person of another race, the answer must be racism. But if a crime is committed by a minority against a person of another race, then the answer is also white supremacy, but by extension. Now, you've created a completely unfalsifiable thesis here in just one second. First, what is your most valuable asset? So for most people, the answer is pretty obvious. Your home. Your home is your most valuable asset. And here's the nice thing about your house. Nobody can steal it. But here is the thing. Some people can steal the value that actually is inherent in your home. Cybercrime is up 75% over the course of the pandemic. By far the most serious cybercrime is home title theft. Cybercriminals, foreign and domestic, are after your home title. It's easier than you would think. The title documents to your home is online right now. The thief can find that title document and then forge your signature on a quit claim deed stating you sold your home to him. Then the thief takes out loans on your home and leaves you in debt. You're not going to know until late payments or eviction notices arrive. Insurance does not cover you. Neither do common identity theft programs. That's why I protect my home with Home Title Lock. The instant Home Title Lock detects someone tampering with my home title, they help shut it down absolutely cold. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now, register your address, see if you're already a victim, and then use code RADIO to receive 30 free days of protection. That is code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that is HomeTitleLock.com. Now remember, all of this is a broader argument by the left, and that broader argument by the left is if a white person does a bad thing, that is reflective of American racism and white supremacy and whiteness more generally, and we can impute intent without actually showing evidence of intent, right? This does tie back into the general cancel culture idea, which is that if it's the impact of your words that matters, not why you said it or what you did. So this sort of thought has sort of seeped in, this sort of strict liability notion of how we ought to treat fellow human beings. This has seeped into every area of our discourse. So Trevor Noah over on Comedy Central, it's in the name of the network, Comedy Central, but I'm just wondering where the comedy went. Now it's just Central. So Trevor Noah, he says the Atlanta shooter is clearly operating from racist premises. Now, here's the thing. Again, I don't know whether he's a racist. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. He's crap either way. It turns out you don't have to be a racist to be a complete piece of crap. There are lots of people who are awful, evil people who are not, in fact, driven primarily by race or racial animus. Happens all the time. There are lots of people who commit evil, horrifying crimes against members of their own race. They are evil and horrifying. But since the Green America is not actually doing things that are evil but being a racist, there is only one type of sin that lies at the root of all other sin. In any case, here's Trevor Noah making the strict liability case, which is if you are a member of, if you are a white person and you hurt a non-white person, we do not even have to investigate intent. The actions themselves are racist, so we don't even have to listen to what you have to say in order for us to impute your action to all of America, her background, her history, and her institutions.
One of the first things that's been the most frustrating for me is seeing the shooters say, oh, it wasn't racism, it was sex addiction. First of all, you, man. You killed six Asian people. Specifically, you went there. If there's anyone who's racist, it's a mother who kills six Asian women. Your murders speak louder than your words. Six Asian women were killed.
Okay, so your murders speak louder than your words. Okay, so by his standard, which is your actions speak louder than your words, so we can impute racist intent, then I can, by Trevor Noah's standard, go back to the stats I was using yesterday, in which some 27% of all violent crimes committed against Asian Americans are committed by Black Americans. A wildly outsized number. More Asian Americans are victimized in violent crime by Black Americans than by members of any other race. Now, earlier, I corrected the record because I said, I don't know whether those are racially motivated or whether they're not, whether they're just street crime. But according to Trevor Noah, I don't even have to do that. I can say that because Black Americans target Asian Americans for crime at outsized rates, that must mean that is racial hatred that is driving it. Now, I can do that by his standard, except I can't, because the standard only works this way with white people. We'll get to more of this in just one moment. First, are you looking for your next investment? Ben Shapiro here. There are 8 reasons to look at NRIA, Real Estate Development Fund. Monthly cash flow payouts, up to 10% annualized with bonuses to 21% targets. They strategically choose low-risk, high-demand neighborhoods that people are moving to. Prime new construction is a sector that's short on supply, high on demand. Diversification and safety from stock market risk. They have a short and long-term strategy for returns today and returns down the road. Pandemic-hardened, specially designed buildings that are open, and they are in their 15th year as an industry leader. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, or if you just want to diversify for safety and cash flow, start your due diligence at NRIA.net or call 800-800-1414. That's 800-800-1414. An offer of securities is only made by the private placement memorandum. Read it first. Past performance does not guarantee future results. NRIA is a real estate development firm. Learn more at NRIA.net. Alrighty, coming up, I'm going to show you how media coverage is solely based on a narrative. It's solely based on narrative necessity. Because certain stories get treated as national stories, and other stories are not treated as national stories, and it is completely racially based. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's Baby Powder.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
We'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Last Tuesday, someone broke into my car and robbed me blind. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't. Instead, my Vivint Outdoor Camera Pro detected him and scared him away with a light and a whistle. Want peace of mind? Stop crime before it happens with a Vivint system. Vivint, all is well. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. That's 833-420-4070.
Right now, we all might feel a little disconnected. For seniors living alone with smaller social circles, feelings of loneliness and isolation can feel overwhelming. But there's something we can all do to help. Connect with your older loved one virtually and have the conversation of a lifetime with StoryCorps Connect. Anyone can conduct an interview, and every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history. Connect, honor, share at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we all know that the media have a narrative lens with which they view stories. Some stories are national news stories. Other stories are not national news stories. And you can always tell which ones are the national news stories by the races of the people involved. Which is why it is not a major national news story when two black teenagers light a mentally ill man on fire and let him die in Rochester, New York. Now, you know if the races were reversed, this would not only be a national news story, it would be the only national news story. If there are two white teenagers, 16 and 14, and they'd found a mentally ill black man, and then they had set him on fire in his own home and burned him to death, that would certainly be not only a national news story, it would spur a thousand think pieces about what kind of culture could create kids who would do such a thing. How the ingrained history of 400 years of racism in America had led to this sort of evil. As it is, you've never even heard this story. I mean, it's not a national news story. This is one of the things you'll find wonderful about our establishment media. They get to decide what a national news story is and what a national news story is not. It is not a national news story every weekend when a dozen people get shot to death in Chicago. It is a national news story if a white person says a mean thing to a black person and is caught on tape. Because, again, the narrative is more important than what actually is the news. By the way, here's that story from Rochester, New York. This is according to Amanda Prestigiacomo. Two black teens have been charged with assault and arson in connection to the brutal death of a mentally ill white man in Rochester, New York. The two reportedly sneaked into the home of the man on Friday afternoon, sprayed him with an ignitable fluid, and set him on fire until 70% of his body was covered in second and third degree burns. A man, identified as either a mail carrier or a gas and electric worker, burst into the apartment to try to put out the burning man, who was apparently left to die. By the time the 911 call was made and police arrived, it was too late. The victim fought for his life for 4 days in a burn trauma unit before he passed. The story was reported. Here's how the media treat this stuff, right? The story was reported by local station WHAM at 13 News, but the races of the individuals involved were not specified. Rochester journalist and radio host Bob Lounsbery made the races public and highlighted the double standard in news coverage that has contributed to the deterioration of Rochester, a city engulfed in at times violent campaign against police officers over alleged racism. Citing law enforcement sources, Lounsbery reports the teens instructed the victim during the incident to tell authorities it was two white men who perpetrated the crime. A police source confirmed Lounsbery's reporting to the Daily Wire. Again, the races were considered irrelevant when this was reported by WHAM 13 in Rochester. Is there any circumstance, where the races were reversed or where white teens had burned to death an Asian person or any minority person for that matter? And this is not a national news story that leads the nightly news every night for several weeks. Any situation? Of course not. Of course, that is the chief news story. But if it's a white person, you impute, this is the rule of the left these days. If it's a white person, you impute intent. Intent matters if it's, it does not matter if it's a white person. And if it's a minority person who does something terrible to a white person, or a black person who does something terrible to an Asian person, then we try to brush that under the rug a little bit, because the only racism that matters is, of course, racism combined with power. Now, what's amazing about this is the entire argument is that racism combined with power is true racism. This is the argument you'll hear from the radical racial left, that racism is not just animus about other racial groups. It is that combined with institutional power. But who actually has the institutional power when the only narrative that you are allowed to promulgate is this narrative? That's the irony. Who is the actual institutional power here when certain types of crime get brushed under the rug as racialized crime and other types of crime that there's no evidence are racially based are treated as racial crimes? Who has the institutional power when that narrative is not only promulgated, but if you deny the narrative, you're considered out of the mainstream and crazy and terrible and racist, by the way? Who has the actual institutional power here? It is not the supposed white supremacists who run the system, is it? And the treatment of these cases, the disparate treatment, is pretty telling. And the media are just going to repeat this stuff over and over and over again. So CNN's Lisa Ling, she went on the air and she said Americans are always scapegoating minorities. That's what Americans do. That Americans are constantly scapegoating minorities. No, actually. And if we're going to talk about scapegoating minorities, you can't say all Americans, right? Because that breaks the leftist taboo against saying that some Americans of minority status might victimize other Americans of minority status. If you're going to talk about Americans blaming minorities, you might want to talk about the left, which literally says that we have to shut down merit-based high schools because too many Asians are doing well, and that we should have discriminatory admissions policies into major universities because Asians are doing too well. That's not the narrative you're going to hear on CNN. On CNN, it is wonderful and progressive to bar Asian Americans from high-performing high schools, and in fact, to shut down the high schools entirely, as they're doing in New York and San Francisco. But it is anti-Asian if you can find no evidence that somebody did something that's anti-Asian per se, did something evil, but no evidence yet that it's anti-Asian specifically. That's it. One of those things is anti-Asian. One of those things is clearly not, but it's not what the media are telling you. Here is Lisa Ling, again, blaming America for all of this.
Asian people are being scapegoated like they have for a century in this country. And this has to stop. This has to stop. We cannot be continued to be scapegoated. And this is, frankly, a pattern of scapegoating that happens in this country. Yesterday, it was Muslim and Southeast Asian people after 9/11. When there's an economic downturn, it's the Latin population. It's always the black community being scapegoated for so many things. During the Cold War, it was gay people. This scapegoating of entire populations has to stop in this country.
Okay, you notice something. I'm just going to notice something right there. That narrative is so – her final line does not comport with everything else that she has said there. That the scapegoating of entire populations has to stop in this country. And then she names a bunch of people who have been victimized by the American system. Right? Asians, gay people, black people, Latinos. You're noticing one group that is never mentioned here? Ever, 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 ever? The white people, of course, right? Those are the victimizers. In all of those circumstances, it's white people who are the victimizers. What if not every story comports with that? What if it turns out the vast majority of white people – are not racist? What if it turns out the American meritocracy is not racist? In fact, it is the American meritocracy that has led to Asian Americans being the highest earning income group in the United States. But so long as the narrative is the narrative, it must be preserved at all costs. Intent doesn't matter. Evidence doesn't matter. Only the narrative matters. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden Friday traveling to the CDC main campus in Atlanta, thanking employees for their efforts in battling the coronavirus.
We owe you a gigantic debt of gratitude, and we will for a long, long, long time.
The president telling workers there that they play a critical role in fighting the pandemic.
You are the Army. You're the Navy. You're the Marines. You're the Coast Guard. I really mean it. This is a war. You are the frontline troops.
The United States has cleared the president's goal of injecting 100 million shots more than a month before his target date of his 100th day in office. In the meantime, there are some changes coming in our schools now. Health officials relaxing social distancing recommendations for the classrooms, now saying kids can sit as close as 3 feet from one another. Also at townhall.com, Visa's debt card practices are being probed.
The Justice Department has opened an investigation into Visa's debit card practices due to the high cost of its fees for merchants. Visa shares dropped nearly 5% Friday after the DOJ news broke.
That is correspondent Ken Lorman reporting. In Texas, the environmental regulator has barred most uses of the water at an oil field camp converted into a holding center for immigrant teenagers. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality has ordered federal agencies to stop using the water at the site for anything other than flushing toilets or washing clothing. The decision raised alarms about the safety of 400 teenagers who are being detained there. This time it's unknown just how many teenagers may have actually been drinking some of that water. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, a shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gain. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Respondents will receive a one-time auto-generated text message from Vantage Point.
Well, the Fed is restoring capital requirements for large banks.
The supplementary leverage ratio requires large banks to hold capital equal to about 3% of their assets, 5% for banks deemed most important to the financial system. The rule was adopted after the 2008 financial crisis to ensure banks kept enough capital on hand to survive market meltdowns. But the Fed relaxed it in the early days of the coronavirus pandemic, aiming to bolster the financial system, as banks were having to suddenly write down billions of dollars of loans and dumping treasuries and other bonds to raise cash. Now the Fed says the market for treasuries has stabilized, and it will not extend relief from the requirement past March 31st. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell reiterating his belief that while the economy has been rebounding from the pandemic, he says the recovery is far from complete. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Pandemic has produced a surprising change in population in one town in Wales.
While goats were once mainly found up in the hills in Wales, they've moved into the seaside resort town of Llandudno.
The other day I was driving, they were all in the road, and they just don't move.
Just around every street corner, there are goats.
I don't know if they're dangerous or not, but I wouldn't like to go very near to them.
The goats like to munch on grass and leaves. For this man, they're great.
And we've got a little bay tree, for example, and he comes in and he trims it. Well, they trim it into a nice little pom-pom for us. You know, it saves us having to do it.
The goats are expected to leave town once mating season starts. I'm Ed Donahue.
On Wall Street Friday, Dow Industrials losing 234 points, closing at 32,862. Good day, though, for tech stocks. Overall, the Nasdaq up nearly 100 at 13,215. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Did the Reading summer heat
put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
They've locked her account. Democrats are preparing a resolution to expel her from the United States Congress, and they locked her Twitter account, which is pretty impressive coordination between our social media tech bros and the Democrats in Congress, almost as though it is completely coordinated at every level. And you can see this in virtually every story. You can see this every day. Do not trust the tech bros. Do not trust the hand-in-glove relationship between the Democrats and their friends in social media and in the establishment media more generally. Which brings us, by the way, to the relationship between the Biden administration and the media. So Joe Biden is clearly in decline. I mean, I honestly feel bad making fun of Biden at this point. I've gotten to that point. So for a little while, I was kind of okay with it. And now I feel bad for the guy. Like, he's obviously in decline. And the media are pretending that he's not. And they're pretending that you're wrong for noticing that he is in decline. Even though it's kind of not a great thing that the president of the United States is not aware of the things that are going on around him. I mean, certainly other countries are taking advantage of this. I mean, Russia is pretty obviously getting aggressive. China is getting very aggressive. There's a little tete-a-tete between the Chinese ambassador and the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, over the last couple of days in which the Chinese ambassador just shellacked Blinken. He basically said, yeah, we have no respect for you guys. I mean, it's you guys who have been telling us that you're a racist, terrible country, so why would we take any moral advice from you? Which, by the way, shows why the left's words matter abroad. When you keep saying that America's a terrible, horrible, human rights violating place, turns out our enemies are noticing when you say that sort of stuff, that when you promulgate those sorts of lies. In any case, here was Joe Biden yesterday calling Vice President Kamala Harris President Harris. It's sad and a little gut churning at this point. I mean, when you watch Biden on tape, when you watch him give a speech, your heart's in your throat a little bit. I mean, he's still the president of the United States. He's still the elected president of the United States. I mean, not good stuff here.
Now, when President Harris and I took a virtual tour of a vaccination center in Arizona not long ago, one of the nurses on that tour, injecting people, giving vaccinations, said that each shot was like administering a dose of hope.
Yeah, again, he's not with it, guys, and it's a problem. It is a problem that he is not with it, especially because this administration is just generating crisis after crisis. They're going to generate a fiscal crisis. It's just a matter of time as to when that fiscal crisis materializes. Biden has the benefit, as I've been predicting for well over a year, of entering office at a time when the economy was in the toilet artificially because of all the COVID lockdowns. So no matter what he did, the economy is going to boom. So now he stacks on top of that a bunch of unnecessary spending, plus a bunch of inflation, plus a bunch of tax increases. And it's only going to slow the economy slightly from the boom that has been happening. Over time, however, those problems tend to materialize. Over time, the viral load becomes too large for the American economy. But Biden, you know, as president, may not be around to feel it. And so Democrats aren't going to worry about that. Meanwhile, the crisis at the border is a very real crisis at the border. It is completely and solely driven by the rhetoric of Joe Biden. The policy has not changed. If the policy has changed, it's been liberalized. Jen Psaki made the crucial error yesterday of admitting that what was happening at the border was a crisis, which, of course, it is. We're holding over 13,000 children at the border in cages. I know we're not supposed to mention the sort of phraseology used so frequently by the Democrats for years. But that's what it is. If that's the kind of terminology you want to use, that's what it is. Here's Jen Psaki accidentally talking about the crisis at the border and then trying to walk it back.
There have been expectations set outside of, unrelated to any vaccine doses or requests for them, that they would be partners in dealing with the crisis on the border.
When you were talking a moment ago about diplomatic negotiations between the United States and Mexico, you said crisis on the border.
Challenges on the border.
Okay. But so that doesn't reflect any change in
nope.
the administration's view of things?
Nope.
Okay, so she screws up. She walks back. As long as she doesn't say it's a crisis, it's not a crisis, guys. We just, you know, pretend along. Also, the most transparent administration in history continues to maintain they have no numbers for you. None. And the media just eat this up because it's the human centipede over there. Here is Jen Psaki saying they have no numbers. They clearly have numbers, by the way. If you think the government doesn't have numbers of the people they're actually keeping in the cages, that is utterly false. There's no way that is true. Here she was saying they have no numbers.
I'd be happy to provide you the numbers. I think CBP has the most up-to-date numbers, so I'd point you to them, and they provide those regularly. We'd certainly support that. I don't have them in front of me right now. I would say the message continues to be, now is not the time to come. The vast majority of families, of individuals, are sent back, are not welcomed across the border, and that's a message we will continue to convey clearly.
I don't have the numbers. CBP has the numbers. Wait, isn't CBP part of the executive branch? It's amazing how often Jen Psaki does this. You should go ask that department that I don't run from the White House, which is the head of the executive branch. And she says, you know, now is not the time to come. Meanwhile, Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the head of the Department of Homeland Security, the administration is like, don't come right now. Don't come right now. Mayorkas is like, also, if you have unaccompanied children, which is the crisis, by the way, right? We have no place to put these kids. They're coming without parents. I mean, it's the saddest thing in the world. I mean, these are children. These are children. Who are being sent across the border with coyotes in many cases, people who are not their parents, and then we're supposed to figure out what to do with them. Which is, I mean, unless you are in an absolute life and death situation, that is an act of tremendous parental abdication. I have three kids who are under the age of 8. I have a 7, a 4, and a 1. The insanity of handing those kids over to any person who is not me, to especially a professional smuggler, unless you're talking about, like, seriously, a life and death situation, I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine that. Okay, but Mayorkas is encouraging it. Mayorkas says, if you do that, we will not expel them. If you do that, we will not try to find you and bring the kids back to you and tell them, and by the way, put you at the back of the line and tell you you can't come again. We're not going to do that. The administration is like, don't come right now. But also, if you send the kids by themselves, if you just send that one-year-old toddling over the border with the, you know, sex trafficking human coyote, then... You know, we'll take them. This is the head of Homeland Security, guys. I wonder why there's a crisis at the border.
Let me draw a distinction between families, if I may, and children who come without an adult. Some of these children are as young as 7, 8-year-old girls. And so we do not expel them back into the desert. But we say do not come because it is dangerous. But we well understand that out of desperation, some children might not wait. Some loving parents might send their child to traverse Mexico alone to reach the southern border, our southern border. I hope they don't undertake that perilous journey. But if they do, we will not expel that young child.
That's unbelievable. I mean, he's literally making excuses for parents doing this stuff. He's like, if a loving parent sends their 2-year-old with a human smuggler across the border, there are incentive structures here, gang. You have nothing but sympathy for parents living in bad situations and kids living with their parents. But when you express the idea that these are heroes for sending their kids across the border and we're going to keep the kids here and they will get to live here. And then when they're in here, guess what they do? Family reunification programs. Right, you use your kid as the hook in order to get yourself in. And I have sympathy for people trying to get into the United States. It's a wonderful place to live. It's the greatest country in the world. Now, contrary to the left's opinion, America's actually pretty damn stellar. The same people who suggest that America's systemically racist, evil, filled with income inequality and greed, are saying everybody should be able to come in here. Weird how people want to get in, since this is such an awful, terrible place. But to have the head of his job is the head of Homeland Security. He is not the empath in chief. He is the Homeland Security chief. His job is to make sure that our border is protected and that we don't have people who are unleashing waves of coyotes with small victimized children to the border. And he's encouraging it. And this is active encouragement. Meanwhile, speaking of the corrupt relationship between the media and the Democratic Party, listen to how the Democratic Party are treating restrictions on the media. It's pretty astonishing. We'll get to that in just 1 second first. Spring is springing. It's the perfect reminder to tidy up and get your life in order. Why not start by protecting your family with life insurance? Policy Genius can help you compare top insurers in one place and save 50% or more. Once you find your best option, the Policy Genius team will set up your new policy for you and answer any questions you have along the way. Here's how you can get started. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare quotes to find your best price. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare policies from as little as $15 a month. You might even be eligible to skip that in-person medical exam. Since their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, there's no hassle. If you hit any speed bumps during the application process, Policy Genius will take care of everything soup to nuts. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. The best part? All the benefits of Policy Genius, the comparison tool, the handling of paperwork, the unbiased advice, totally free to use. So, while you are tidying up around the house this spring, why not get your life insurance organized as well? You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes. Feel good knowing if something happens, your loved ones will be taken care of. Go to PolicyGenius.com to get started. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and quite important to get it right. Okay, so the Democrats are now saying, you know what? Sure, the Biden administration is not allowing members of the press in to actually see what the hell's going on. That's good. That's good. Remember, it was very bad when Trump wasn't fully transparent with the media. Now the Democrats are explicitly saying we're not going to let journalists in to these border facilities to take a look. By the way, where's AOC in all this? Just wondering. These were concentration camps. These concentration camps were so egregious, terrible, and evil that she traveled down to the border in an all-white outfit for a completely authentic, spontaneous, non-staged photo standing outside a chain link fence across a broad field from a detainment facility and then cried directly into a camera. Where is she now? Oh, that's right. She's, you know, back in her D.C. apartment with the Peloton bike. Yeah, that's what I thought. Here is Democratic Representative Linda Sanchez from California saying, you know what? Journalists should not see inside the facilities. We should have any idea what's going on inside those facilities.
These detention facilities at the border were not meant for children. Children are meant to be in licensed facilities, but because of the numbers and because of the social distancing that's required, they are doing the best that they can. And I don't necessarily think that it's appropriate for journalists to be inside centers that are not permanent places for children, that children are not placed there permanently. They're processed out of those facilities as quickly as possible and as quickly as the facilities will allow.
What does that have to do with whether the media gets to see what exactly is happening inside the facilities? The answer is Democrats don't want the pictures. They don't want the pictures. They want to attribute pictures during the Obama administration to Trump. And then they want to have no new pictures because of the overwhelm. Meanwhile, Julian Castro, former presidential candidate, he says, you know what? It's racist to ask about our immigration policies. We should not ask about immigration policies. That in and of itself is racism. Here's Joy Reid and Julian Castro going at it. A battle of the intellectual luminaries here on MSNBC.
This is part of their playbook. It's something that we've seen so many times before. It is fear-mongering. And this time, they're doing it because they can't argue with the Biden administration in terms of serving the needs of everyday Americans. So what do? They go to their red meat issue for their base, and they try and dehumanize these folks. Many times, a 12-year-old child, 16-year-old child that just is desperately trying to seek a better life.
I mean, you can't debate the issue or you're a racist. That is the way this debate always works. By the way, the House is now passing more immigration bills. The House passed a bill to give millions of so-called dreamers and farm workers a path to citizenship. So in the middle of a crisis, they're saying, you know what? Come on in. What do you think the set of incentives does? The reason they won't call it a crisis is because they like it. They want more of it. They want more people immigrating illegally to the United States. They don't want people to have to wait in line. They don't want there to have to be standards for immigration because they believe that these people are going to enter and then eventually are going to become Democratic voters. That's the only reason they're doing this, because otherwise they would want an orderly system. They clearly do not want an orderly system. They want to reward behavior that violates the law. I mean, they said openly that they want to make it not a crime to illegally cross the border. In a near party line vote of 228 to 197, the House first moved to set up a permanent legal pathway for more than 2.5 million undocumented immigrants, including those brought to the United States as children and others granted temporary protected status for humanitarian reasons. 9 Republicans also voted yes. Hours later, lawmakers approved a second measure with more bipartisan backing that would eventually grant legal status to close to a million farm workers and their families while updating a key agricultural visa program. This time, 30 Republicans voted to join the Democrats in favor. Now, again, I'm not averse to saying that dreamers ought to be given some pathway to citizenship. once we have shored up our border. But you cannot set up a magnet system inside the United States and not close the door at the same time. And that's what we're doing right now. This is what Ronald Reagan said after he passed the amnesty in 1986. He said, this is a great move. This will end illegal immigration. But he left the border wide open. So it didn't end illegal immigration. He said it was a major regret. Most Americans agree on this stuff, by the way. Immigration is like a 70-30 issue. Most Americans are pretty okay with legal immigration. They don't like illegal immigration. And they want to make sure that the people who are coming in are assimilating to the American way of life, believe in American values, and add to America's economic prosperity. You know how you do that? First, you close the borders. You make sure that people aren't just getting in. Second, you find all the people who are in the United States illegally, and you analyze whether they are, in fact, of net benefit to the United States, the same way you would de novo if somebody were attempting to immigrate to the United States. That's the way you do it. Democrats don't want to do it. They just want a wave. They just want as many people in here as possible who they think are going to vote for them. It's the same rationale behind why they want this so-called For the People Act. They want to overwhelm the system with the possibility of votes that cannot be verified, because that way they just win regardless. That is the goal. It's not to set up equal access to the ballot box, which already exists. Instead, what they want to do is essentially make it possible for the Democratic Party to go gather millions of votes via ballot harvesting and then just pack the ballot box for a bunch of people who weren't going to vote anyway. That's their actual goal here. Okay, we'll get to more of this in just 1 second, because the Democrats aren't stopping there, obviously. First, attention, savvy investors looking for predictable monthly cash flow. Is a 10% annualized immediate monthly payout good for starters? How about bonuses targeted to 21%? If you want the safety and security of a real estate investment, but without the hassle of being a landlord, you've probably heard of NRIA. NRIA is an industry-leading real estate development firm in its 15th year developing strategically located, low-risk, high-demand neighborhoods based on supply-demand imbalance. They're a great fit for safety-oriented investors who want cash flow and diversification into carefully chosen real estate. Learn more about the NRIA Real Estate Development Fund at NRIA.net or call 800-800-1414. That is 800-800-1414. An offer of securities is only made by the NRIA Private Placement Memorandum. Read it first. Past performance does not guarantee future results. NRIA is a real estate development firm. Learn more at NRIA.net. Already coming up, the Democrats aren't just seeking to change the rules on immigration and voting. They also want to get rid of the filibuster so they can ram through anything they could possibly want. We'll bring you the latest. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivin. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivin camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. My Vivin security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is, I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone, whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivin. All is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivin today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivin, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivin representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivin.com for licensing information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
So the Democrats are now intent. They are going to attempt in some way to screw with the filibuster. The reason they're doing this is, of course, because they want to ram through with literally just 50 votes in the Senate, plus Kamala Harris as the deciding vote. And those two Georgia Senate races mattered an awful lot. They mattered an awful lot. And if you stayed home in Georgia, anyway, Joy Reid on MSNBC talked to Jen Psaki of the White House. How refreshing, Jen Psaki of the White House. And asked her, why aren't you just nuking the filibuster so you can ram through whatever you could possibly want?
Is bipartisanship in and of itself more important than passing voting rights, immigration reform, and, you know, structurally changing things like the minimum wage? Is just bipartisanship in and of itself more important than those things?
Well, we don't see it exactly a choice like that. Obviously, he is not going to allow political games in Washington to hold his agenda hostage or prevent work being done on behalf of the American people.
Okay, so that is basically her saying, yeah, we'd consider screwing with the filibuster. And this is how Democrats see it, right? Progress can only be achieved if we screw with the process. Progress is the primary function of government, and progress is what we want. And we want it when we want it. And so we're going to do whatever we can to get it. And so now the House Democrats are looking to change the filibuster rules, the Senate Democrats as well. With an outright repeal of the filibuster unlikely, according to the New York Times, Democrats are turning to alternatives to bypass or weaken the 60-vote threshold in the Senate in order to ram through a landmark voting rights bill that many in the party now view as an existential necessity. Of course they view it as an existential necessity. We've talked overall many times over about H.R. 1, which they say, I love how the New York Times reports this. It's aimed at blunting Republican efforts to restrict ballot access. What Republican efforts to restrict ballot access? Voter ID? That is not a Republican effort to restrict ballot access. Presenting H.R. 1, which is the greatest violation of federalism that we have seen in modern American history. It literally takes all of the election procedures away from the states and localities and elevates them to the federal government, where the federal government sets the most permissive rules humanly possible on voting. That literally bars the ability to check voter ID, prevents you from banning ballot harvesting, which is super, I mean, ballot harvesting is super corrupt. Ballot harvesting is you hire a bunch of Democratic operatives and they literally go door to door and they only go to Democrats and pick up their ballots, which doesn't guarantee equal access. In fact, it just means whoever has the better funded ground game, who can have the most cars picking up the most ballots wins. The whole thing extends early voting. It provides for the ability to count votes after Election Day. I mean, it's an insane piece of legislation. Democrats want it specifically because they feel that it allows them to stack the ballot box as much as they could possibly want, and they can win elections that way. And this is why there's only one reason Democrats are doing that. It is not to shore up voter integrity or voter or ballot access. That's not what this is about. So what are the Democrats trying to do? Well, now, Stacey Abrams is suggesting that Democrats suspend the filibuster only for this one, just for this one. She says, yeah, you know what? Well, you know, we're having a tough time getting rid of the filibuster overall, but on this one, it's just so important that we need it. So we'll only screw with the filibuster where we feel that we need to. Now, there's no limiting principle. If they want to pass Medicare for all in 1 second, they'll just screw with the filibuster on that, too. Abrams says in an op-ed published by CNN, if Republican senators representing a minority of Americans attempt to thwart much-needed legislation to protect voting rights, Democrats should take bold action. Exempting legislation from a Senate filibuster is not unprecedented. And then, of course, she looked at things like the process by which the filibuster is suspended for budget bills. Yeah, there's a difference. If you don't pass a budget, the government goes bankrupt. Not quite the same thing here, Stacey. But again, the rules don't apply if you're a Democrat, and they shouldn't apply if you're a Democrat. So much so that you have senators, like the senator from New Mexico, Martin Heinrich, literally said that he wants to get rid of the filibuster. He's used it 350 times since 2014. Already coming up, we'll be talking with the author of what I think is the most important book of the last 5 years. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up! Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower, and we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing. So keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Killark Powerhouse is a substation of Northern California Power Company located on Old Cow Creek near Whitmore. It was built to supply additional power to Keswick and Mountain Copper Company. And as a backup power plant for the Volta Powerhouse, it began generating power in 1904, operated 24 hours a day. On the grounds were the foreman's two-story stone house plus two other houses, a nine-bedroom clubhouse usually occupied by single men, a horse barn, and a dance hall upstairs and a swimming pool. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, our society seems to be growing ever more bizarre. Today on Twitter, a person actually suggested that the term biological male ought to be banned when we are talking about trans people. That if you are a trans female, we are not allowed to say biological male. Because if you say biological male, then this is a form of discrimination. How exactly did we get to the point where it is now considered perceived wisdom by the masses that a male can become a female? Carl Truman is the author of what I think is the most important book of the last 5 years, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Revolution. Carl, thanks so much for joining the show. I really appreciate it.
It's a great pleasure to be here, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about the thesis of the book, which is essentially that a lot of what you're seeing in modern life, the sort of bizarre allegiance to ideas that confound reason and biology, and in some cases physics, because apparently if you're a transgender person, then not only are you a transgender person now, you were always that transgender person. So Bruce Jenner, when Bruce Jenner won medals at the Olympics, was actually a woman at the time, because all objective measures matter not. The only thing that matters is what Bruce Jenner thinks, what Caitlyn Jenner believes Caitlyn Jenner is. How did we get to this point? I think the thesis of your book is basically that this stuff is not self-creating. It's not like it just kind of came out of the ether and then just fully materialized. There's a long history that led to the point we are now at in society.
Yeah, that's very true. I think a lot of people are rightly, I suppose, or understandably, mesmerized by the dramatic developments of the last few years. But actually, those developments stand on the back really of a much broader transformation in how human beings have understood themselves that goes back at least 300 or 400 years. And in essence, it's that we've slowly but surely come to prioritize and grant huge and even ultimate authority to feelings, inner psychological space. What we're seeing at the moment is the outworking of that relative to sex, gender, etc. But it's nothing new. This prioritizing of inner feelings as fundamentally defining who we are. It's something you find back in Jean-Jacques Rousseau in the 18th century. It's something you find in the Romantics in the early 19th century. This is not a new thing. It's just that it's breaking out now in dramatic and popular ways that we have never really seen before, never anticipated.
So how did this come about? I mean, historically speaking, because it used to be, and it still is in traditional religious communities, that you recognize that your job as a parent is to take what is essentially an uncivilized small barbarian and turn them into a civilized human being. And anybody who's ever had small children understands that this is the case, that if you allowed your children to make their own decisions, they would be dead within just a couple of hours. And that is why it is your job as a parent to actually inculcate a respect for institutions, a respect for rules, and to help them adapt to the world around them. And that is, it is that interaction between them and the world that defines who they are. It is not merely what they think they are that is reality, but we've moved away from that. So how did that movement happen?
Well, that's a very complicated story in many ways, but I think one significant dimension of that would be the breakdown of traditional structures of identity. When you think of certainly even the world that I grew up in the 70s and 80s, there was an assumption that society had a certain shape. There was the nation, there was the family, there were religious institutions, and these were bigger than the individual. And as you rightly point out, the task of education, the task of parenting was to teach the individual to fit into this larger pattern. I think what we've seen over the last 30, 40, 50 years is the steady collapse of those traditional structures of identity. And what's left, of course, is the individual. Why shouldn't my happiness be the primary focus of my life? Why should I think of my life as having a significance beyond my own immediate pleasure? We've really lost, I think, the ability to articulate the idea that each individual's purpose is actually to be found in something more social, something larger than the individual.
And that is it's such an interesting point, because one of the points that you make in the book, which is, again, is the rise and triumph of the modern self, one of the points that you make in the book is that we as a common society now only speak in that language, that even many of us who think that this sort of stuff is weird and strange and that the redefinition of individualism doesn't make a lot of sense, who believe that men are men and women are women, even we tend to speak in the language of what's been called expressive individualism rather than the language of virtue and natural law that really characterized Western civilization for centuries.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, when you think about it, when we, you know, if you identify yourself as a straight person, these days. You're buying into this idea that your identity is fundamentally your inner sexual desires, your inner sexual orientation. When you think of how many religious conservative people were raised no objection at all, or very little objection, and have learned to live with no-fault divorce. What is no-fault divorce? No-fault divorce is a philosophy, reflects a philosophy of marriage where the purpose of marriage is for the pleasure of the two contracting parties. The traditional view of marriage, of course, is that it's also to produce children, and it's to provide an environment for growing those children into, as you put it earlier on, members of society. No-fault divorce is a great example of how even religiously conservative people have bought into this idea that the meaning of life is me and my personal happiness in the here and now.
And this does create an awful lot of conflict, because if you are a person who believes that happiness relies in your subjective assessment of the world, and really it's the job of the world to conform to you, not the other way around, that you are going to change the world, right? You were, whatever you were born this way, in the words of Lady Gaga, and that now the rest of the world is its job is to confirm to you your perception of self, then we now understand why it is that people get so angry when you say something that you think is tolerant, like, do whatever you want, it's none of my business. They get angry when you say that, because that's not enough. What they require is not only your acceptance, but your approval. They require you to cheer on their self-identity. I think this is something conservatives never have understood, and your book clarified it for me, is why was there this shift from the argument, for example, on same-sex marriage, went from what we do behind our own closed doors is our business, which a lot of conservatives who don't like big government said, okay, well, that's at least a fair argument. It moved from that very quickly to, if you do not legitimize in every area of American life the complete sameness of same-sex marriage and traditional marriage, then you are somehow denying to me dignity. And as you talk about in the book, that keyword dignity has really become a fungible and useful term for folks on the political left.
Yes, very much so. And I think what you're pointing to there is it's a basic of human existence. We all want to be free. We intuitively understand ourselves as free beings, but we also want to belong. We want other people to acknowledge us for who we think we are. And that's what we're seeing today. And it's why freedom of religion is coming under huge pressure, because if you object religiously to gay marriage, what you're actually doing is objecting to the legitimacy of somebody else's identity. We see it on campuses with speech codes. If you offer a narrative or you express an opinion that calls into question somebody else's identity, then you are oppressing them. You are engaging in an act of psychological violence, as I've seen it portrayed. And one of the odd ironies of this, of course, is that you end up with a very sort of libertarian view of human identity feeding into a rather authoritarian type of government, in that somebody has to decide which identities are legitimate and which are not. And I think what we're seeing at the moment is, you're a religious conservative, your identity is not legitimate.
So why is that? I mean, that really is the big question, because I think a lot of religious people, as sort of a defense mechanism, they've said, all right, well, you know, you want to live your life, why can't you just let me live my life? Right? And so what we've had is, for example, in the law, Justice Gorsuch over the past term basically enshrined this philosophy in a law. He said that Civil Rights Act of 1965 is now going to encompass the idea of gender, not just sex. And now it's going to protect people who believe they are members of the opposite sex. But at the same time, we're going to have religious exemptions. So what this means is you can be bigoted, but only if you're a religious person. And people on the right tend to say, okay, well, so why can't they respect my way of life? I'm respecting your way of life. I'm leaving you alone. Why can't you just leave me alone? Why is it that religious identity remains maybe the only identity in American life that receives no dignity, no respect, and no level of hands off control?
I think that, again, that's a complicated question, but I think part of the answer to that is less and less people in America are religious. And I think as you see the rise of the so-called nuns, as you see the rise of those who don't care one way or the other about religion, it becomes easier and easier for the anti-religious rhetoric to gain a hold in our society. I mean, you talk about Gorsuch last year, but we saw it in United States versus Windsor in 2013, which overthrew the Defense of Marriage Act, where essentially the Supreme Court said, if you object to gay marriage, you are an irrational bigot. You're engaging in constitutional animus. So this was not something invented by Justice Gorsuch in 2020. This is something I think that has been gaining a head of steam for some years now.
And as you point out, in terms of the Supreme Court lineage, when you look at the law, I mean, you can see it most clearly in that awful decision by Justice Kennedy in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, in which he talks about, your right to define life and the meaning of the universe as you see fit, which is a very odd statement considering the universe has an objective reality all of its own.
Yes, and considering that the government has to constantly define who's the person and what the purpose of life is, that's why we have laws. Justice Kennedy, I think, is clearly a very intelligent man. He wouldn't be on the Supreme Court otherwise. But that statement is, there's no cure for stupid on that statement. That's a remarkable statement, I would say. Remarkable.
We'll get to more with Carl Truman in just one second. First, why exactly are we choosing to give big tech companies our personal data? These people don't like you. They are not your friends. They want to monetize your data, and at the same time, they want to keep track of everything you're doing. Protect your personal data from big tech with the VPN I trust from My Online Protection Express VPN. See, every device, whether you're on your phone, laptop, or TV, has a unique string of numbers called an IP address. When you search for stuff, watch videos, even click a link, big tech companies can use that IP to track all your activity and tie it back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted servers, so these companies can't see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized. My network data is encrypted. The best part? You don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and now you are protected. Protect your internet activity with the VPN I use every single day. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to get 3 extra months for free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to get 3 extra months for free. expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. expressvpn.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months free on that 1-year package. How exactly do we recover here? Because it seems like a lot of religious institutions themselves have completely foregone the battle. They've decided that their main job is to basically play guitar music and make you feel good about yourself. That spirituality with just a dash of God is going to be enough. That if we abandon all the rules, that's the only way to make people feel good about coming to church. That if you say things that are judgmental in any way, that this is going to alienate people. You actually saw this in Don Lemon this week on CNN declaring that the purpose of God, when the Catholic Church reaffirmed same-sex, its view on same-sex relations, which has been the same for several thousand years at this point, and the entire media treated this as a shocking development, which is incredible. It's like breaking. Sky is blue, and we're all supposed to be shocked that the Catholic Church didn't change its doctrine that has been absolutely steady on this point for literally millennia. Don Lemon said, the Catholic Church should change its doctrine because God is non-judgmental, right? God is not a God who judges, which is literally the opposite of, the entire Bible, like all of it. The part that I believe, the part that you believe, and the part that, the sequel. So it's a very bizarre statement. But there are a lot of churches that have bought into this and synagogues, a lot of religious institutions that have bought into the idea that the future of religion is basically in watering down religion so that it's secular humanism and you say Jesus sometimes.
Yeah, and that's a very tragic position to take. Relevance is a very cruel mistress when it comes to the religious world. And churches that seek relevance in that way, they simply lose their purpose, because the whole purpose of the church is to tell you, you're not okay the way you are. You need to commit to this. As soon as the church starts aping the world, guess what? The world does it a whole lot better. If you want to entertain people, I'd rather go to the theater or the cinema than go to a church to be entertained. So I think that the future for the church, for religious conservatives in general, looks smaller. It looks less comfortable than it has been in the past. I don't see we have any choice. I do think we need to think strongly about building firm communities. If your strongest identity flows from the strongest community to which you belong to, then churches, synagogues, etc., they need to build strong communities, or they're not going to survive. And strong communities require distinctives. The LGBTQ+ movement teaches us that. They're strong and they survive because they were distinctive. Simply dissolving ourselves into the wider culture, that's suicide, that's spiritual suicide.
And do you think that there is a future for religion in the West, considering that this is now being brought to the legal level, that the conflict has not been relegated to the area of sort of social conflict and disagreement, but now it's being elevated to the point where companies are firing people for being religious, essentially, or for agreeing with religious views on particular, aspects of human nature? And by the way, not just religious views, natural law views. As you point out, there's a sort of bizarre safety that religious people feel that is the most unsafe position. When they say, oh, well, that's my religious view, they think that's like the most easy defense, but that's actually the worst defense, because then everybody immediately says, oh, yeah, that's just a cover for bigotry. So you don't make a natural law defense of your actual positions, and then you're accused of bigotry on that basis. But when everything is elevated to the HR department, when everything is elevated to the anti-discrimination law courts, when everything is elevated to federal law, is there a few...
Did the Reading summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Biblical and Religious Studies professor over at Grove City College. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks very much for having me on, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the latest beauties of our modern culture, including Drag Queen Story Hour, which, of course, is one of the just great blessings that, with which we have been granted. Well, we'll get to that in just 1 second. First, whether you're an avid news watcher or in serious need of a distraction, unplugging yourself is easier said than done. When I want to rest my eyes and still get the content I'm looking for, I put in my Raycon wireless earbuds and I listen to something amazing. Raycons are built to perform anywhere, anytime with water and sweat-resistant construction. Bluetooth that pairs quickly and seamlessly. With enough battery life for 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for quite a while. Raycons come in a range of stylish colors with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. The best part? Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone with wireless earbuds starting at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon is offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. Here's what you need to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Ben. That is 15% off at buyraycon.com/Ben. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Get 15% off. When you do, Raycons are great. They fit my ear perfectly because you can customize them to fit your ear perfectly, and they're not going to cost you an arm and a leg. Go to buyraycon.com/Ben. Get 15% off today. That is buyraycon.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, some breaking news on one of the founders of Drag Queen Story Hour. This should not shock you, but it might. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. If you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, the FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug ranitidine may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Last Tuesday, someone broke into my car and robbed me blind. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, my Vivint Outdoor Camera Pro detected him and scared him away with a light and a whistle. Want peace of mind? Stop crime before it happens with a Vivint system. Vivint, all is well. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. That's 833-420-4070.
Hey, this is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. At times, life can feel scary, and we can get overwhelmed by anxiety. Mindfulness can help you get through these tough times. My nonprofit is partnering with Headspace to offer free content to help you stress less. It's as easy to do as this. Take a big, deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. In and out. Head to kevinlovefund.org/headspace and be kind to your mind.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, we now know, according to Ian Hayworth over at Daily Wire, the mayor of Milwaukee, Tom Barrett, is reportedly expressing his complete surprise that child court judge Brett Blum, who, quote, previously headed up an LGBTQ organization that fundraised for Drag Queen Story Hour, among other programs, was arrested on tentative charges of possession of child pornography. Who? No. No. You mean people who raise money for events in which drag queens, which are sexualized performers, perform for small children in drag? That those people might be sexualizing children? No. That, no. I can't believe it. As reported by the Daily Wire, the Wisconsin Department of Justice reportedly began an investigation into Blum after receiving a tip through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, according to the complaint, which also alleges that Blum shared child pornography with other kick users through private chats and messaging groups on 27 separate occasions. The complaint lists descriptions of the videos, which are both graphic and disturbing. Some of the videos involve toddlers and other very young children. Brett Blum was taken into custody by special agents with the State Division of Criminal Investigation, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The mayor said, these are a complete surprise, these allegations. Well, it's not like such a complete surprise, is it? Drag Queen Story Hour, which the organization led by Blum described as, quote, capturing the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models, is itself part of an open effort to sexualize children, of course. One shocking example was reported by the Daily Wire in October 2019, after photos showed a drag queen performer named Sasha Soto repeatedly exposing himself while reading to young children during a recent Drag Queen Story Hour event at a taxpayer-funded library in Minnesota. But it's not just that. In 2019, the Houston Public Library admitted they allowed a convicted sex offender to read to children as young as two after failing to perform a basic background check. The man had previously been charged for sexually assaulting a child who was eight at the time. Another registered sex offender was reportedly found to have participated in the Space City Sisters, another Drag Queen Story Hour troupe in Houston. Let me be perfectly frank about this. It is not just the people who made up Drag Queen Story Hour who have a problem. It is any parent who would put their kids in proximity with these folks. What are you doing as a parent? What are you doing as a parent? Why are you putting your kids in proximity to sexualized performers of any sort? Are you an insane person? Why would you do this? Unless you wish to propagandize to your child about the fluidity of gender. Unless that's the actual goal. Which presumably it is. Because there is no other reason not to protect the innocence of your children. I'm not surprised by the activity of the people who are involved in some of the people involved in these drag queen story hours. But I will never get over being surprised by the willingness of parents to subject their children to the insanity of this stuff, to the sexualization of this stuff. I am a parent. I have three young children. The notion of exposing my children to anything remotely like this is so far beyond the realm of the rational that if I had my druthers, Child Protective Services would be called on parents who bring their kids to sexualized drag queens gyrating in front of three-year-olds. That is child endangerment. What an insane society. But don't worry, that's actually liberation. If you read the kids' Dr. Seuss, then you've really screwed up the kids. If they read If I Ran the Zoo, you never know what might happen. They might travel to the African island of Yurka and find a mazurka. These are very, very difficult problems for small children. Clearly, If I Ran the Zoo and Mulberry Street, that's the threat to your kids. Not having over-sexualized men dressed as women gyrating and thrusting their pelvises in front of your children. Yeah, our society might be toast. It might be over, gang. Last one out, turn out the lights. Alrighty, we'll be back here next week. Try not to wreck everything over the weekend worse than it already is. And we'll be back here on Monday to recap all of it. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden and Vice President Harris offering comfort and denouncing hatred following this week's deadly shootings in Georgia. More on the story from White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
During a visit to Atlanta, the president and vice president met with members of the Asian American community. Afterwards, they denounced the violence that left 8 people dead, most of them Asian American women.
Racism is real in America, and it has always been.
Hate can have no safe harbor in America. It must stop.
Mr. Biden said it was heart-wrenching to listen to Asian Americans discuss living in fear of violence, especially during the pandemic, and he called on Americans to stand up to bigotry when they see it. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, health officials relaxing social distancing recommendations for schools, saying kids can sit as close as 3 feet to one another in classrooms. The CDC's Dr. Greta Massetti.
6 feet of distance or more is more important between teachers and other adults, and between teachers and students. Also, in situations where masking can't be used, for example, when kids are eating.
Pediatric infectious disease specialist Dr. Sean O'Leary says kids need to be physically in school.
To me, you know, having those kids in school with the mitigation measures in place is really, you know, to me, it's almost a no-brainer.
Supreme Court getting back to normal following a year disrupted by the pandemic. Most of the justices meeting in person Friday for a scheduled private conference. They've been holding conferences by phone since last March. Spokesman says all 9 of the justices have been vaccinated and are keeping with the recently CDC protocol. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the 4 best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move with the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Ohio Senator Rob Portman says the crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border is more about just more than immigrants. Bob Agnew reports.
Portman says the backlog of young immigrants being detained at the border is just part of the story.
And unfortunately, it's not just about the kids. It's also about more families. It's also about more single individuals coming across and more drugs.
Portman tells the Salem Radio Network the porous border is being used for the smuggling of both guns and drugs, including fentanyl. Bob Agnew reporting.
Well, the church attended by the man charged in killing the 8 people in Atlanta, and most of them women of Asian descent, now sharply condemning the shootings. They also say it has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the church's teachings. Crabapple First Baptist Church will also remove the 21-year-old man from its church membership. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A 21-year-old Swiss woman charged in a recent online hack targeting the security cameras of a California-based surveillance camera firm.
Charged by the Justice Department with computer intrusion and identity theft, Tilly Kotman of Luzerne has been indicted by a Washington State grand jury. The breach exposed footage from customers of the camera provider, and those behind the hack say it was meant to expose the dangers of mass surveillance. Prosecutors aren't buying it, though, arguing such action can increase vulnerabilities for everyone, from large corporations to individual consumers. Rich Thomason reporting.
Annual report on happiness around the world suggesting the pandemic has not crushed people's will to live and overall happiness. Finland was number 1 as the happiest place, the United States number 19. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
First, right out of the chute, a big collective thank you. A big hug from me to the audience. Thank you for the tremendous feedback on my big announcement yesterday. We will be moving into the noon to three spot on terrestrial radio stations across the country. Listen, folks, it's a tremendous honor. Your emails, your social media posts, some of your texts, people who know my number who text me, thank you. I mean it. Please, look me in the eye. Horse blinders right here, or horse blinkers, as someone told me to call. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It was my wife and I got a little choked up reading all your incredible emails. You are the most loyal audience in the business, and your emails are so emotional. They really are touching. We read them, almost every one of them, which is rare because there's a lot. Thank you. All right, I've got a lot to cover today, including some explosive fireworks on Capitol Hill. Did you catch it? You maybe did. If you didn't, you'll catch it here. And also, the disinformation specialists are back. The same clowns involved in the pee-pee and collusion hoax, the pee-pee hoax and the collusion hoax, they're back again trying to discredit the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Let's get to it, but first, it is Friday, and I've been forgetting this lately, so producer Joe, if you would, you know, help us out a little bit.
Well, it's Friday!
In Joe's worst 1960s game show voice. We've been doing this forever. We only had to skip it a few times. So, Joe, let's go.
All right.
A little bit of a delay there. It's all right.
Okay.
Hey, one more thing. Gee said to me that we were getting a bunch of questions. I'm sure Joe might have gotten them too. Again, what's going to happen with the podcast? I got a call from Business Insider yesterday. We get a bunch of media requests. The answer is absolutely nothing. I can't say that if nothing will happen. I have two options, and I hope you take them both. Our terrestrial radio show coming May 24th on radio stations across the country from noon to 3, or the podcast, nothing's going to change. You have my word on that. Well, for as long as – assuming I'm alive and all. I can't promise nothing's going to change ever. I can only tell you nothing's going to change anytime soon. All right? Just checking with that. I got a ton of questions on it. All right. Got to throw that caveat in there, you know? Getting to our first video of the day. Given my prior situation, maybe my wife's going to be like, why did you say that? I can tell. I always know. I can read her mind. She listens to the show later. I'll be in the kitchen eating, and she'll give me a look. She'll be like, and I'll know at what point in the show, 4:48. Here are the fireworks on Capitol Hill yesterday. So we've been living in a largely evidence-free environment when it comes to things, sadly, like the coronavirus, where we have people who say things that are rarely backed up by science. And when we actually cite the science, those people get very uncomfortable because the people who are supposedly about the science don't like the science. Science doesn't care if you like it or not. That's the essence of science. The whole Earth being round thing, it doesn't really care much if you think or if you agree with it being round. It's just round. It's not flat. It doesn't care about your opinion. So Rand Paul had Dr. Fauci up on Capitol Hill yesterday, and he was asking him for some evidence on some of these assertions he's making about behavior we should engage in even after people are vaccinated. And Dr. Fauci got a little upset. It's weird how, you know, you would think a doctor interested in the scientific method, you know, hypothesis, testing, confirmation, evidence, that kind of stuff. Why does he get so upset when Rand Paul brought up actual data? I want you to check this out. On the other side of this, I want to talk about how all of our ability right now to calculate risk and adjust our behavior as we wallow in just a sea of emotion and talking points. Watch Fauci. He doesn't like this at all. Check this out.
Given that no scientific studies have shown significant numbers of reinfections of patients previously infected or previously vaccinated, what specific studies do you cite to argue that the public should be wearing masks well into 2022?
I'm not sure I understand the connection of what you're saying about masks and reinfection. We're talking about people who have never been infected before.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity, and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
You had the vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts. Okay, the studies that you quote from Crotty and Sette look at in vitro examination of memory immunity, which in their paper they specifically say this does not necessarily pertain to the actual protection. It's in vitro.
And what study can you point to that shows significant reinfection? There are things that show
Let me.
Are we not allowed to ask questions anymore? Are we not allowed to seriously, are we not allowed to ask questions anymore? I had this conversation yesterday. A woman called me from Business Insider, wanted to talk about the whole radio show thing and other stuff, my Facebook page. And, you know, she was a decent journalist. I mean, it's rare these days, but was asked honest questions and let me talk. And, you know, I brought this point up to her because she had said to me that, yeah, I don't know, she had heard somewhere that I was anti-mask. And I said, where did I say that? Where did I say that exactly? Matter of fact, if you listen to my show, and audience archivist Judy can probably confirm this, I specifically said I'm not anti-mask, I'm anti-stupidity. If you want me to go in your business because it's your business, you have a sign on the door, you have to wear a mask, fine, I put a mask on. It's not a big deal. But I actually rely on things like science, and I'm just not convinced that there's an overwhelming amount of data, as Rand Paul said, that if you're vaccinated, that it provides you any useful measure for anything. And he asks Fauci, like, can you actually provide data on this assertion that if you're vaccinated, it's a good idea to wear a mask? Why? Why is that? You may say, if you're listening, and I get it, and it's fair, you may say to yourself, well, what's the downside? Folks, there is a downside. There is a downside. The downside is, or by the way, are obvious if you've walked the streets anywhere near a hospital, if you've looked in a public garbage can lately, there are masks everywhere. They're all over the place. When I was getting my radiation treatment, I walked down the street. There are masks littering the street everywhere. It reminds me of 1980s New York when people just threw their garbage out of the window of the cars. The streets were filthy. They had to do a public information campaign to get people to stop littering in the streets. It's not cost-free. Is that an unbelievably large cost that we should never wear a mask ever if the evidence proves out that it's helpful? No, I'm just suggesting stop pretending it's cost-free. If there is little to no risk, as Rand Paul seems to indicate from the data, then why aren't we adjusting our guidelines? As I said, we have lost our ability to calculate risk. Folks, listen to me. One of the best things I ever did was taking on a personal lifelong passion now for economics. It is I know they call it with the dismal science. It's not. It's fascinating because it really gets into people's heads because it's not what people think. It's what people are willing to spend their money on and work for. That's what matters. I don't care what you think you value. I care what you actually buy, what you actually do. Don't tell me what you do. Show me it. Show me what you do, how you work, where you work, when you get your buy. That shows me who you are. Not what you I love to help the poor. Do you donate to charity? No, I don't donate. Then you really don't love to help the poor. You like to talk about helping the poor, right? Why does that have to do with this story? Because economics will show you we have lost our ability in the coronavirus era because of people like Dr. Fauci to calculate risk. You put a price on your life every single day, not me. You do it. tell me, Gee, tell me anything here that's inaccurate. Joe, you've heard this before. Everyone gets in a car every single day knowing that there's a small chance they could be in a deadly car accident. People get on quads every day, and they drive through national parks or whatever it may be. People have been hurt on quads. Small risk, but people get hurt. People take motorcycles. Every Joe had a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people get hurt on motorcycles. Why do they do it? Because they're alive, and they want to live, and they want to enjoy their lives, and they understand the risk, and they adapt to that risk. They take a calculated risk because they want to live their lives. And I'm just asking, and I thank the Lord, and I'm not using his name in vain. Why are we attacking people like Rand Paul, a good, committed, liberty-loving senator from Kentucky, for asking questions like that? You're asking us to engage in this behavior, put this mask on, which most people don't like. It dehumanizes us, leads to tons of litter all over the place. I'm just asking you, is there any evidence that that minimizes the risk? And if there is, let's see it. If you're vaccinated, let's see it. And Fauci didn't like that question. Have we lost all of our ability to do this now? We calculate risk every day. It's all gone out the window, coronavirus. Shut down the airlines. Shut down businesses. Shut down this. Are we going to do that every time there's some novel virus we don't understand? It's a big thing to take on. All right. Good for Rand Paul. Nice work. Always coming through in the clutch for us. We'll be right back.
The Dan Bongino Show.
Dry, irritated, and red blotchy skin all over your face, and it won't go away. Struggling with stress breakouts and uneven skin tone? All gone thanks to Zotique Deep Correcting Serum by Chamonix. Here's Catherine from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm a doctor working on the front lines of this COVID pandemic. The endless face mask wearing ruined my face. Used several other products without success until Chamonix. The promises are real. Very quickly, my face seems on the mend. These products have started healing the mask creases. Thank you. Zotique uses the power of liposomal technology to deliver the healing, rejuvenating powers of vitamin C to the deepest layers of your skin for results you can see. And it's yours free today with your order of GenuCell for bags and puffiness. Just call 800-525-6553 or visit GenuCell.com. That's GenuCell.com. Order today and get the classic GenuCell jawline treatment and luxurious GenuCell XV anti-wrinkle moisturizer free with your order. Every order is upgraded free to priority shipping. Don't wait. Order now. That's GenuCell.com. GenuCell.com. That's GenuCell.com.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations. I'm Alan Jones, founder and CEO of Bambi. I created Bambi specifically for small business. Get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain compliance for $99 a month, seriously. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime.
Go to Bambi.com/Westwood to schedule your free HR audit. That's BAM to the BEE.com/Westwood.
Maxwell, he was a runaway into rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet said, it's the grain. Third vet, she said, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10, and the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening this fall in your area. Moving Day from the Parkinson's Foundation is a fun and inspiring fundraising event that celebrates exercise and unites the community in the fight against Parkinson's disease. Events may look different this year to keep everyone safe, but we can't wait to come together for a good cause. Parkinson's doesn't stop, and neither will we. Learn more and register for an event in your area at movingdaywalk.org.
Have you ever heard of anyone crediting their success to just sitting around and doing nothing? Yeah, me neither. So why are you letting your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts just sit around and do nothing? Now is not the time to sit on the sidelines. Now is the time to make your money work as hard for you as you did for your money. Put your savings and retirement accounts into something that will work for you, like real gold and silver. No, not gold and silver stocks, but real gold and silver you can actually hold in your hand. So how do you get real gold and silver? By calling the Oxford Gold Group today, 833-600-GOLD. Now, the Oxford Gold Group will teach you everything you need to know about owning real gold and silver. It's easier than you think. Call them now, the Oxford Gold Group, 833-600-GOLD, to get your free gold and silver investment guide. And by the way, if you never decide to sell your gold or silver, the Oxford Gold Group will buy it back. And they don't charge you a penny when you sell them their materials. So get the Oxford Gold Group investment guide today and learn how easy it is to have real gold and silver delivered to your home or into your retirement account. Call the Oxford Gold Group, 833-600-GOLD. That's 833-600-GOLD.
Dan Bongino.
All right, folks, moving on. So information warfare continues. Listen, when disinformation specialists and misinformation specialists, especially overseas, want to destroy the United States, cleave us in half, and promote discord, they go to the same people every time. That's not a joke. They go to the media, and they go to liberal anti-Trump suckers and anti-Trump rhinos. Listen to what I'm telling you. That's a very serious statement I just made. Digest the gravity of what I just told you, because I said it deliberately and I mean every word of it. When foreign governments want to promote discord in the United States, what they do is they use tools in our media, toolboxes, and I don't mean that as a compliment, and liberal disinformation specialists to cause massive discord in the United States. The collusion hoax that Donald Trump was tarred with, Donald Trump's a Russian traitor, colluded with Vladimir Putin to win the election. That was promoted by Russian disinformation specialists using idiots in the American media who were too stupid to see through the pee-pee hoax, collusion hoax. And yes, I will continue to call it the pee-pee hoax because that's how dumb that story was. Donald Trump got peed on by hookers in Russia. Are you an idiot? That you actually believe? The guy's a germaphobe. Have you ever met him? He gives elbow bumps when you see him. He doesn't even like to shake hands. And you think he had Russian hookers peeing on him. Are you that dumb? If you're in the media, the answer, sadly, is yes. Why am I bringing up the pee-pee hoax again? Because it's back. The exact same people who were used by foreign governments pumping nonsense through Fusion GPS, the exact same people in the media are back telling us now that the Hunter Biden laptop story, that's Russian disinformation. That's disinformation. Don't buy the Hunter Biden stuff. Although we have the laptop with pictures of Hunter Biden. Joe, remember that joke he used to do with the receipt? We have the receipt.
Yes.
Hunter Biden's receipt dropping off Hunter Biden's laptop signed by Hunter Biden. Remember? I don't repeat segments, but this wouldn't matter. Remember the Austin Powers movie? The penis pump thing, remember that? And they're like, they take it out of storage. Austin Powers wakes up from storage, and they got the pee-pee pump, we'll call it. Remember that? And yeah. He's like, that's not mine, baby. And they're like, piece number two, receipt signed by Austin Powers for the Australian pee-pee pump. That's not my signature, baby. And then they pull out the video, how to use the Australian pee-pee pump video by Austin Powers. He's like, baby, that's not mine. This is the Hunter Biden story. This is the Hunter Biden laptop. We have the receipt of Hunter Biden giving his laptop to this guy. There are pictures of Hunter Biden on the laptop and emails from Hunter Biden. And media people, not curious about what's on the laptop, the fact that Hunter Biden was kicking back money to the big guy, the now president of the United States, his dad from China. The media is not, they're not even remotely interested in that story. They're interested in pumping disinformation that the Hunter Biden story, it's from Russia. That's not my baby. They need Austin Powers and the pee-pee pump. You don't believe me? Remember Ken Delanian? Joe, I know you remember Fusion Ken. That's his nickname, Fusion Ken Delaney.
Fusion Ken.
Who's this? There is not a journalist with a worse reputation on the pee-pee hoax and the collusion hoax than Fusion Ken. This guy, there are very serious allegations that he was fed information by Fusion GPS, wasn't critical about it at all, and he was one of the lead purveyors of the collusion hoax. Amazingly, he's still on the air. MSDNC still gives this joker a platform. He's back. Here's a video of Fusion Ken doing the Austin Powers. That's not mine, baby. This is Fusion Ken telling us, be very cautious. This could be Russian disinformation. He's not curious about the laptop at all. Check this out.
The second big conclusion is something we knew a little about, but this provides much more detail, which is, yes, we knew that Russia was interfering, massive influence campaign led by Vladimir Putin, that they had disclosed. But this report goes into remarkable detail about how this Russian influence campaign essentially made pawns of people in the right-wing media and people close to Donald Trump by feeding them propaganda about alleged corruption by Joe Biden and his son in Ukraine and getting them to repeat it on documentaries and programs and through President Trump himself. And one of the key figures was Andrei Derkach, a parliamentarian who was feeding information to Rudy Giuliani and Republican members of Congress. And this report, which was prepared mostly during the Trump administration by career intelligence officials, Steph, makes no bones about the fact that these Trump aides were repeating Russian propaganda directed by Vladimir Putin.
It's unbelievable. He's not even remotely curious if the information is accurate. Is that Hunter Biden's laptop? He actually signed for it. Those are pictures of Hunter Biden with emails from Hunter Biden that nobody in the Biden family disputes. He's not interested in that at all. He just wants you to go, look, squirrel, shiny red ball. He said, this is an alleged journalist. This joker is still on the air. I'm sorry to make it personal, but I just can't believe that these guys with zero credibility told you the collusion hoax was real, despite no information whatsoever that that's an accurate statement. He's still on the air, and they still nod their heads in approval when he talks. These guys are clowns. Now, showing you what he said, because we actually do evidence on this show, that Biden story is Russian disinformation. Here again is the Washington Examiner from yesterday. Re-upping a story again. Beckett Adams, Washington Examiner. No. A newly declassified report doesn't prove the Hunter Biden laptop story was, quote, Russian disinformation. You can read that story in yesterday's newsletter. Again, Bongino.com/newsletter. If you want to subscribe, I email that out every day. I got to play a brief video of Jen Psaki, who circles back on herself in the same sentence because she gets lost in the euphemisms game. You know the euphemisms games the Democrats always play? They're not illegal immigrants. They're undocumented potential residents. It wasn't spying. It was questionable surveillance activities. The euphemisms game. Psaki does that to herself and has to circle back on herself in the same sense. You don't want to miss that, all right? We'll be right back.
The Dan Bongino Show.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries are not cheap. They're $70,000 a year. I'm Alan Jones, founder and CEO of Bambi. I created Bambi specifically for small business. Get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. Seriously. Let's change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. With Bambi, your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, we customize your policies to fit your business. And help you manage your employees day to day. All for just $99 a month, period. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. Get a free HR audit today.
Go to Bambi.com/Westwood. Spelled BAM to the BEE.com/Westwood. Go to Bambi.com/Westwood.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Donnie Smith. Moroville was an early gold mining settlement established in 1849 beside French Gulch Creek, approximately 1.5 miles west of French Gulch. It was named for H.W. Morrow, who owned a ranch on the creek. Soon the miners were finding too much gold and moved the settlement eastward beside Clear Creek in 1854 because mining was being carried out on the streets and under the houses. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta Historical Society.
Annual auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items and supporting Turtle Bay. Bidding begins March 11th. Tune in for the live virtual watch party March 20th on Facebook Live or YouTube. Go to turtlebay.org and click the online auction banner to register and learn more.
Ever wonder what makes Omaha Steaks so good? Order today and find out at omahasteaks.com. Enter Sizzle into the search bar for the Butcher's Best Sellers package at an exclusive price and save over 50%. This package includes 29 items from the fork tender Butcher's Cut Filet Mignons to savory pork chops and so much more. Plus, when you order today, you'll receive 4 chicken breasts and 4 extra burgers for free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type keyword Sizzle in the search bar, and order the Butcher's Best Seller pack today.
Dan Bongino.
So here is Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, who I obviously it's hard for me to be in any way objective. I'm a conservative libertarian. I don't like what they're doing at the White House, but trying for a moment to be objective, Jen Psaki is just doing an awful job. She just is. She is definitely no Kayleigh McEnany, I can tell you that. My mother always used to say, I can tell you that. Here's video here of Kayleigh McEnany having to circle back on herself, talking about the immigration crisis. We're not allowed to call it a crisis, except she does. And watch her catch herself later. And this is one of the most embarrassing cuts from a White House press secretary I've ever seen. Check this out.
Were there expectations set with the Mexicans that they helped deal with the situation on the border?
There have been expectations set outside of unrelated to any vaccine doses or requests for them, that they would be partners in dealing with the crisis on the border.
When you were talking a moment ago about diplomatic negotiations between the United States and Mexico, you said crisis on the border. Is was that a...
challenges on the border.
So weak. This is so weak. Isn't this pathetic? This is so sad and pathetic. No. Challenges? Did I say crisis? You have 100,000 people a month crossing into a country. We have no idea who they are. Completely gaffing off our immigration laws. Like, whatever. Immigration, schmimmigration. We're just going to cross the border when we feel like it. And Psaki, she's like, yeah, all right, it's a crisis. No, I didn't mean crisis. It's just a challenge at the border. Weak. And what's really going on? Totally pathetic. The border's collapsing, folks. That's obvious. And I'm going to tell you a dirty little secret here that I've heard from my sources. Biden absolutely knows it. He knows this administration, they're in a lot of trouble at the border. And why? Because, folks, you can't ignore it anymore. Cameras are pervasive now. Social media, for all my beefs with Twitter and Facebook, it's pervasive. Pretty much everyone in America either has a Facebook, Twitter, or Parler, or Gab, CloudHub account, whatever it may be. Or you know someone who does. And with the pervasive nature of cameras and camera technology and phones, you can't hide the crisis anymore. People who live in Texas, Arizona, I mean, even, Southern California, New Mexico, they just have to go out and say, look at what's going on. I saw this at the border. A photojournalist, journalist, independent journalist writing on Substack and elsewhere, not subjected to the media propaganda machine, are taking videos of literally lines of hundreds of immigrants using coyotes to cross the Rio Grande and enter the United States illegally. Everybody sees it. Folks, that wasn't that easy to do back in the Reagan era. Nobody had a camera phone. You had to get a news crew down there. You had to get a satellite truck in. Nobody has to do that anymore. There was no internet in the Reagan era. What did you do? You had to get a satellite truck, wire everything, run cable to get. That's not happening anymore. Biden is being bombarded with social media clips of immigrants just wildly crossing the border all over the United States. Hundreds of people walking in, and they're now recognizing this is not working. We've got to do something. So what are they doing? Look at this great article by Twitchy. Be in the newsletter today. What are they doing? I mean, you want to talk about an epic fail? The same guy who bashed Trump endlessly about his immigration policies, is now emulating Trump's immigration policies, basically tacitly admitting Trump was right the whole time. Here's an article by Twitchy, by Doug P. New York Times reports Biden administration's quietly reverting to echoing Trump-era policies to slow migrants headed to the U.S. So just to be clear, they've spent the last, what is it, Joe? Now 2 years since the campaign and the election, everything. Last 2 years calling Trump a misogynist, the racist, the what we call the istophobic phobophobes.
Yes.
Put any word with an ist or – Gee, do you know about istophobic phobophobes? It makes sense, right? Any word with an ist or misogynist, racist, transphobe, homophobe. That's what they've been calling Trump for the past 2 years. So if Trump is all those things, then why exactly is the Biden administration realizing through the pervasive use of cameras that – and by the way, they don't care about illegal immigration. But I don't think for a second I'm suggesting to you – I want to be crystal clear because I don't want to get a lot of hate mail on this – that Biden and his administration give a damn about illegal immigration. They want it. Are we clear? Everybody cool? Thumbs up?
Amen.
Thank you. I just want to be sure. I don't want to. They want it. What's bothering them is the cameras, maybe I wasn't clear enough, are creating a political problem for them. They don't consider illegal immigration a problem at all. The cameras are creating a political problem they know they have to fix. Here, from the Twitchy piece, quote, now that reality's kicked in, Biden's saying, don't come over. However, they're still coming over. And the New York Times is reporting that the Biden administration is taking drastic measures, and that seems to include a return to Trump policy. In the Twitchy piece, you can see this tweet from the New York Times. Breaking news. The Biden administration is quietly pressing Mexico to curb migrants coming to the U.S. That sounds like something Trump did, Mexican officials said. A move echoing Trump-era policies. Can I tie this back to the beginning why I love economics so much? Because, again, economics divorces you from the emotion of a conversation and makes you focus on the reality of it. What do people work for? Where do they choose to work? When they work to get money, where do they spend that money? That's what matters, not what they say they want. Oh, I want a bunch of liberal policies. Well, what does economics say about liberal policies? It says that in places where liberal policies dominate, people are moving out, taking the money they earn to buy houses to get away from liberal policies. So you can talk all the you can talk all the smack you want. The hard reality is economics, the dismal science of economics, says you are full of stuff. Because when you vote liberal policies in places like New York and California, you see a mass exodus from those states. You may say you love open borders and illegal immigration, but once you realize the hard economics of how people allocate their time and voting patterns, and you start to study that, you realize you got a political problem when what you said you wanted, illegal immigration, actually happens and people find out about it. This is kind of a separate story moving on, but it's related. And the segue here is you'll see it in a minute, but I don't want to miss the story. I had it in yesterday's show, and yesterday's show was just so loaded with information. We didn't have enough time to get through it. But this will be in my newsletter. Read this story. Please. It's worth your time. Again, Bongino.com/newsletter to follow my newsletter every day. The Federalist. This is a great story by Christopher Jacobs. How woke whites are turning minorities into Republican voters. Ha! Again, going back to science and data, how woke white bow tie wearing wokesters, but as Matt Gaetz calls them, woketopians, white rich upper crust elitist snob liberals, they can tell you all, they can talk all day. Illegal immigration's good. We have to help people. We have to do all this. They don't actually do any of that. And matter of fact, large swaths of the population in the United States who are not woke white liberals, when you look at the data, are starting to say, yeah, I don't think that open borders illegal immigration thing is for me. Liberals are too dopey to pick up on this, though, because they believe they're helping. That they're missing is the massive numbers of people are moving in large swaths away from liberal woke Democrats to the Republican Party because liberals live on emotion and they don't live on hard reality. Here's screenshot one from this story. And by the way, let me just add this in. I was mocked, which is fine, part of the business. I have a thin skin. I don't have a thick skin. But still, I was mocked for suggesting on Fox News multiple times this week that President Trump has moved the needle with Hispanic votes positively in the GOP direction, despite the fact that he was relatively hard on illegal immigration. People, liberals, Pacino, what an idiot. Okay, well, you don't believe in data like I do, so let's see who the real idiot is from this Federalist piece. Here's screenshot number one. While the Democrat vote increased by 7 percentage points amongst white college graduates in 2020, their support among African Americans dropped by 1 to 2 percentage points. Remember this from that story last week? Among Hispanics, it dropped by 8 to 9 points. And as much as 14 to 15 points in areas like South Florida. That is an apocalypse, folks. And among Asian Americans by roughly 5 points. Sure, this is that liberal pollster who wrote that story we talked about last week. Sure notes that, quote, I don't think a lot of people expected Trump's GOP to have a much more diverse support base than Mitt Romney's did in 2012. But that's exactly what happened. We'll be right back.
The Dan Bongino Show.
Dry, irritated, and red blotchy skin all over your face and it won't go away? Struggling with stress breakouts and uneven skin tone? All gone thanks to Zotique Deep Correcting Serum by Chamonix. Here's Catherine from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm a doctor working on the front lines of this COVID pandemic. The endless face mask wearing ruined my face. Used several other products without success until Chamonix. The promises are real. Very quickly, my face seems on the mend. These products have started healing the mask creases. Thank you. Zotique uses the power of liposomal technology to deliver the healing, rejuvenating powers of vitamin C to the deepest layers of your skin for results you can see. And it's yours free today with your order of Genucel for bags and puffiness. Just call 800-525-6553 or visit Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com. Order today and get the classic Genucel jawline treatment and luxurious Genucel XV anti-wrinkle moisturizer free with your order. Every order is upgraded free to priority shipping. Don't wait. Order now. That's Genucel.com. Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com.
Since COVID, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and 55 by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-831-6155. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities.
with PVA staff working inside VA hospitals. No other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponset. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Hey.
Dan Bongino.
So again, who's the real dunce? You sense in a theme in today's show, Democrats are all about the science and the data. And yet when you go to the actual science and the actual data, it says the exact opposite of what the liberals are telling you. From the Federalist piece. Another interesting thing this guy Shore, S-H-O-R, had to say. Guy Shore's a liberal, by the way. I think his name's David Shore. I'm not really sure, but I cited his piece last week. What does Shore think Democrats should do about this looming catastrophe? They got a solution, folks. You would think, Joe, if you were sane, the Democrats' solution would be, hey, these woke-topian white liberals pushing open borders, socialism, confiscatory taxes, government-run health care. Joe, a sane person would say, we're driving away Hispanic, Black, and Asian voters. Maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe we should moderate a little bit and like advocate for crazy ideas like liberty and freedom. I know that's nuts and it's a stretch for you. Wouldn't that be what you would say? Mm-hmm. Why are we losing these people? What? Well, they don't seem to like the whole socialism thing. Maybe we should. No. That's not their solution.
Oh.
Shore's solution is let's just gerrymander the election and admit new states so we can steal elections in the future. Right up the Democrats' alley. Go back to the piece. Rather than moderating their policy, Shore thinks that the left should use the current Congress to tilt the playing field permanently in its direction. These people are unreal. Yeah. They are unbelievable. By requiring red states to redraw their congressional districts in a more pro-Democrat manner and admitting new states that will increase Democratic votes in the Senate. Here's the quote from Shore. Since the maps in Congress are so biased against us, if we don't pass a redistricting reform, our chance of keeping the House is very low. And in the Senate, it's even more biased against us than the House. So it's also very important that we add as many states as we can. This is the Democrats. Never, ever a moment of actual self-reflection. Never. Never a moment of what are we doing wrong that's driving sane minority voters over to the GOP that maybe we should reflect on. None of that. Their solution is, well, we're obviously totalitarians. So how do we push the beach ball under the water even more? I've got it. Let's rig Congress through massive gerrymandering and add two states so our crazy ideas can't lose. Lack of ability by woke-topian liberals to look in the mirror and see how stupid their ideas are is one of the great conundrums of my time. It reminds me of a quote. I hate quotes, but sometimes they're really good, and I use them often. If you've never read The Natural by Bernard Malamud, you have to. The book is better than the movie. The movie ends totally differently, by the way. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to spoil the book, but trust me, it's nothing like the ending of the movie. You know the movie with Robert Redford, The Natural? There's a quote in the book that's spectacular. The one of the female characters in the book, you know, says, "We all live two lives, the one we learn from and the one we live after that." Says that to Roy Hobbs. I say that because liberals have a unique capacity, and I do mean unique, to never get past stage one. They don't learn from anything. They don't reach the life lived after that. We all live two lives. It's so true. The life we learn from through mistakes, and then the new and better and reformed person after that. Not liberals. They pass a bunch of liberal junk in New York City. People move out. They move to Florida. They vote the same junk in here, and they do it again. It's like the beatings will continue until morale improves. Let me smash my head on the decks because it feels better when it stops. This is working well. Let's open up the borders as long as it imposed costs on border towns and not on me. And then Joe's in Maryland. I know you remember this. Remember, Joe, in Montgomery County? They call it Occupied Montgomery County in Maryland because it's one of the most liberal counties in the entire country. And it's very wealthy, by the way. It's the suburbs of D.C. Montgomery County was all about illegal immigration until illegal immigrants started showing up in their neighborhoods. And then everybody was like, whoa, let's dial this stuff back a little bit. I was cool with it when it only affected Texas border towns. But I didn't think people would show up in my neighborhood.
Yeah, how about that?
They never. Ever, liberals, ever get to the life lived after the life they learned from. Ever. They are mentally immune to facts. Again, they're all about the science until the science kicks them in the teeth. For this one, I've got the heroes of the week. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's fan-created GoFundMe page ends after dismal showing report. Yes! 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 Joe, would you agree? Our heroes of the week are the people who did not donate a GoFundMe page set up to pay off the mortgage on Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's $14.6 million estate. What the hell has gone bust after raising how much? $1 million? $2 million? $110 million? No, they raised $110, a report says. Yes. Thank you to the heroes of the week, the people who did nothing on this GoFundMe. All right, folks, thanks again. I really appreciate it. Again, we had a nice rebound this week. It means the world to me. Please subscribe to my show. Go to rumble.com/Bongino. We're at 1.44 million subscribers. I'd love to get to 1.5 before the launch of the radio show. Again, but the podcast isn't going nowhere. Subscribe today, rumble.com/Bongino. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll see you all on Monday.
Good day, sir.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden reacting to a meeting between top U.S. and Chinese officials. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
In their first face-to-face talk since the start of the Biden administration, U.S. and Chinese officials had sharp words for each other. The Americans accused China of grandstanding and assaulting basic values, while the Chinese told the U.S. to stop pushing its own version of democracy and deal with its own human rights problems. At the White House, President Biden expressed pride in his top diplomat, Tony Blinken.
I'm very proud of the Secretary of State.
The two countries have had strained relations for several years, only growing worse after the coronavirus pandemic spread from the Wuhan province. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, bipartisan group of lawmakers calling on President Biden to officially recognize the Armenian genocide. We have more on that story from Bob Agnew.
40 senators have signed on to a letter from New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. It states that between 1915 and 1923, the Ottoman Empire, quote, systematically sought to eliminate the Armenian population, killing 1.5 million Armenians and driving hundreds of thousands more from their homes. The letter also notes that in 2019, the U.S. Senate unanimously passed a resolution of its own acknowledging the facts of the genocide. They're now asking Biden to become the first ever U.S. president to do the same. Bob Agnew reporting.
Federal prosecutors have now launched a criminal probe into the finances of Baltimore's top prosecutor and her husband, who is a city council president. The Baltimore Sun has obtained a grand jury subpoena seeking business records for Marilyn Mosby and Nick Mosby, including tax returns, bank and credit card statements, and other documents. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards, and it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5348.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment. Now we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5348.
President Biden choosing a new NASA administrator.
It's a former senator from Florida who flew on the space shuttle. 78-year-old Bill Nelson grew up near Cape Canaveral. He was a Democratic congressman when he launched aboard space shuttle Columbia in January of 1986, right before the Challenger launch accident. His commander was Charles Bolden Jr., who later served as NASA administrator under President Obama. Nelson was elected in 2000 to the Senate, where he served until 2018. John Scott reporting.
In Idaho, the state legislature voting to shut down for several weeks due to an outbreak of COVID-19. Lawmakers in the House and Senate making that move Friday to recess until at least April 6th, with significant unfinished business, including setting budgets, also pushing through a huge income tax cut. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Greek authorities say a man has been arrested on suspicion of antiquity smuggling. Keith Peters has that story.
He was trying to sell an ancient marble statue of exceptional artwork and significant archaeological value that once likely adorned a temple on Athens' famed Acropolis or the slopes around it. Police announced Friday that the 5th century BC statue was recovered following a months-long police operation that involved an investigation by the Cultural Heritage and Antiquities Department. Measuring about 14.5 inches, the statue depicts a seated young man who reclines slightly to the right. Keith Peters reporting.
On Wall Street Friday, Dow Industrials losing 234 points, finishing the week at 32,862. NASDAQ, though, was up for the day, nearly 100 points. NASDAQ finishing the week, 13,215. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob at Drops. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Border crisis, and it is spiraling out of control with no signs of ending.
Is that an upward spiral or a downward spiral? What kind of a spiral? Maybe it's a sideways corkscrew spiral. It's a crisis at the border. Even Jen Psaki, you think she accidentally slipped up and said crisis yesterday? Do you think it was calculated? I think it was calculated. Because now they can say, oh, she called it a crisis. Oh, she used the word crisis back in March. That's how they'll say. They're weasels. It's a city full of sharp-toothed weasels. Trust me, I know. They live around me. I see them at restaurants and things. Well, it's Friday again. How did that happen? A very happy Friday unto you, and welcome. We continue to be at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625, and it's quite a time we live in. 3 hours is not enough for me, at least, on any given day for our humble radio broadcast, because they're every day, Michael, what is it, 4 to 5 to 6 hours of material every day. And you could just, you could come out of a coma and wake up and just start going through the news of the day, and it just keeps going. It's a steady stream, a river, a waterfall, cascading upon us, rivulets of crazy stories streaming down our consciousness. It is nuts out there, in short. And I look forward to sharing a bunch of that with you today, because we've got a whole bunch of it. We certainly do, and we've got the border and the Cold War. You know, Joe Biden and the Democrats have reignited the Cold War, and Vladimir Putin. Yesterday we were making fun of a little bit of the new Cold War. Well, not a little bit, a lot of the new Cold War that Biden is creating, because he's the candidate of the military-industrial complex, and the Democrat Party is the party of war. You know, only if you want to count the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, and the Vietnam War, if you want to count those. Then Democrats are the party of war, and there's more than that, too, but that's the short list. And Joe Biden, he is the Democrats are back, and there's hostility all over the place, and usually with our allies. But now they're stirring up with our, let's say, adversaries, to be polite. Vladimir Putin, who's a communist, of course, and you think they get along famously. I think they might be kind of working. It's like a little bit of show business. They're kind of a little back and forth. Putin, yesterday in the lane, I was making fun of it yesterday. Michael Piercy and I were making fun of it, because they're using this ridiculous schoolyard language, and I was mockingly saying, you're rubber, I'm rubber and you're glue, what you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. Little did I know that Putin had either just said that or was about to say that, because he said that. And then in the Washington Post today, they said that that's an old schoolyard taunt in Russia. That's it. I'm like, well, they stole it from us like all the technology they steal. They should steal capitalism and freedom from us instead. But that's not what they steal from us. Now we're stealing authoritarianism from them. Actually, we're stealing the idea of crushing free speech and limiting freedoms and also Putin. He tore a page from the Democrats' playbook yesterday. I have the audio from you for you, and we'll lay this out, because he just. Honestly, I thought it was a DNC press release. It might have been that Putin was reading from. Remarkable stuff. But in any case, we'll get to that. The Biden administration has reignited the Cold War, and the media doesn't seem to notice. They don't really seem to care very much. We'll get to that. We've got border craziness. And of course there were 8 people were murdered. 6 of them were Asian Americans or Asians in state of Georgia, Atlanta, greater metropolitan area. And the Democrats, it's just another great opportunity for them to politicize everything. It really is. And one of the things that they're doing here is trampling free speech, because that's a big theme with them these days. They're word burners. I've been talking about being word burners for years and years now. And not to mention that the librarian who was burning all the conservative books with fire, setting them on fire. And that wasn't a big story, because it's not like he was a Republican burning liberal books or something like that. So really not a big deal. And all kinds of crazy stuff having to do with that. A hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday. Congressman Ted Lieu, Asian American, and he's demanding, I am not a virus. Nobody said you're a virus. You know, if your ancestors are from the Rocky Mountains, that doesn't mean that you are spotted fever. So this is largely a semantic thing, and then really it's a free speech thing. And Trump said, oh, and how dare he? And that's what caused it, even though what happened in Atlanta, that nobody except, well, it's not that nobody's saying, nobody that has spoken to the guy, no, not the police, not his parents, not his church, not his neighbors, nobody says that this was a racial incident. He was a freak who was apparently addicted to porn on the internet and to massage parlors, and he lost his mind, obviously, and he murdered 8 people. Two of them that are non-Asian are getting no attention at all, are they? They've been left out of this now. I mean, that's 8, and then 2, so 6 are Asian, 2 are not. That's 75% versus 25%. And the 2 that are not Asian, it seems that nobody cares very much about them. But we'll get into that stuff, because it's the craziness of the semantics and the controlling language. Communist China is very happy about the cause that the Democrats are advancing here in the United States of America, trampling speech and crushing words. And let's leave China out of the virus that came from China, just like we leave Spain out of the Spanish flu and the Rocky Mountains out of Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And, you know, if you're from Connecticut, it doesn't mean that Lyme disease, calling Lyme disease, is an insult to your entire family, right? It's a Lyme disease. It's a town in Connecticut where we discovered Lyme disease, and that's why we call it Lyme disease, L-Y-M-E, Connecticut. But never mind that. So Putin has challenged Lunch Bucket Joe to a debate, which is, I guess, better than Biden challenging Donald Trump to a fist fight. He'd take him out behind the barn or behind the gym or, you know, behind the something other. He'd give him a good licking, the other kind. And he gave him a good licking, because he's tough. He learned to fight because of corn pop and pomade and the hair and Esther Williams and all that stuff. But never mind that. He's a tough guy, Putin is. Biden is. Putin actually is a tough guy, and he is a killer. But it all started when, and really it was George Stephanopoulos, wasn't it, Michael, that got the ball rolling with this, is Putin a killer thing? And Biden said, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like he had a mouse in his mouth or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then he did say he is. And then Putin, he got angry, and now he wants to have a debate with Joe Biden because he thinks it'd be funny. But unedited in real time, it would be funny. I'd watch. It'd be like pay-per-view. We got to have Evander Holyfield moderate. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So all kinds of funny stuff there. And the language used by these people, these adult world leaders, just astonishing. I've got to say, I was doing Danny Thomas spit takes all day yesterday, gathering this stuff up. And also Joe Biden and Harris are headed to, Kamala, Vice President Kamala Harris. They are headed to Georgia today. They were already planning on heading down to the CDC. Now that whole CDC thing is on the back burner because now they've got the flames of racial division to fan. So they're going to do that, even though, again, there's no reason to believe this lunatic attacked these locations because of race, based on anything he said or his family or his church or his neighbors or the police or the interviews. If you discount all those, the Democrats know racism when they see it. Problem is they see it in every cloud drifting by in the sky. They see it in every orange cone at a construction site. They see race everywhere because they're crazy. The Democrats also and Biden planning on canceling. It's right now it's only $1 billion in student loan debt, but this is how they start. You know, it always begins like this, and it goes on like that. But never mind all that. And conspiracy theories. I love the conspiracy theory that people think that Joe Biden was not on the South Lawn of the White House when he answered a question from a reporter, but that it was a green screen and he was superimposed. A lot of conspiracy theories about his eye color and things like that. Most of them pretty amusing, but really everybody, put down the keyboard and step away from the internet because it's crazy out there and you got to, you know, you got to pick and choose. Well, you pick and choose might be a good idea to pick and choose. I think so. Border and kids, you know, they continue to throw children into wood chippers at the border. What is that? They make an excellent mulch. All right. They're not really throwing them into wood chippers, but they're throwing them in these basements and they don't see daylight and they don't shower. And, you know, the dogs are barking. I think that Biden sent his German shepherds, Ava and Adolf, down there to go frighten the children. We've got more cancel culture stuff with the editor of Teen Vogue magazine. She's a young, 27-year-old, I think, African-American woman. She was at Axios. She's on MSNBC all the time. And it turns out she's a racist and a homophobe, so she was fired before she even started her job. And her boyfriend is the misogynist that was fired from the Biden White House a few weeks ago because he was threatening women reporters and stuff. You remember this guy? That's good stuff. And crazy. Transatlantic genders. This story is absolutely nuts. And in Canada is not the United States of America. I don't know if you're aware of this. They are America's hat, and they are America's largest national park, and we're grateful for that. But they need to look at what they represent, what they stand for, because there's a man in jail. There's a man in jail right now in Canada. Or is he out of jail now? And they're threatening to put him back in jail, I think, for years. Why? Well, he used the wrong words. And they've banned and criminalized speech. And that's what the left is working on here also. And they do it as they do everything, incrementally. And over time, they're very patient, like the Chinese. So is that racist to say Chinese are patient? That is to say, you know, they got a 100-year plan, 1,000-year plan. And they take their time, unlike us. We're always in a hurry. And interesting story, very interesting stories there. Also, this is really a tragic story. In San Antonio, Texas, and also controversy to hearing on Capitol Hill because of words that were used again. The left is not a free speech party. The Democratic Party isn't. Just stop there. The Democratic Party isn't. They're a party, you know, especially like at the Kennedy compound and stuff like that. But they are not Democratic. This is not a Democratic Party anymore. But there is in San Antonio, they have this, you know, Madame Tussauds wax museum. They have this wax museum stuff where they have funny wax figures. And it's kind of sad and it's tragic. It's terribly racist, really. They had to take down their likeness. They have political figures and stuff. They have Putin. They have Kim Jong-un. And you can go visit them. And they have Barack Obama. They have a life-size. They're all life-size wax figures and suits and stuff. And they have a Barack Obama figure. But, well, they did, but they had to take it down because people kept running up and punching it, punching the Barack Obama, Madame Tussauds wax figure. You know, probably like Trump supporters or Republicans or something, probably racists like that. So they had to remove the Barack Obama likeness at Madame Tussauds wax works in San Antonio. Oh, wait a minute. I got that wrong. I got that wrong, didn't I? It turns out that they had to take down the likeness of President Trump because the headline is here, Tussauds Waxworks in San Antonio removes Trump figure because people kept punching it. Now, it wasn't Republicans punching the Barack Obama likeness. No, it was crazy, violent, criminally insane Democrats by the millions. And they see a wax figure of Trump and the party and the media and the broader pop culture, which is run by the left. They have given the green light to all forms of violence, all kinds of violence. So turns out feelings run deep when it comes to Donald Trump. Who'd have thunk, the headline says from the San Antonio Current. That's right. Louis Tussauds wax works in Alamo Plaza has been has packed away a figure of the former reality show star turned former president after visitors took out 4 years worth of frustration on it, you see, because the blonde coiffed dummy suffered damage from both punches and scratches to its face because lefties are insane, violently, criminally insane. Do not invite them over for Easter dinner because they might attack you. They're violent. They're nuts. They're completely crazy. And, of course, it's not really a news story. If it is on CNN, they'll laugh about it. If it were Barack Obama's likeness and it were the same thing, well, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Krill.
Let's face it, taking trips to the post office probably not the way you want to be spending your time right now. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online with Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anywhere, anytime, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with their discounted rates. Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. With Stamps.com, you get discounts of up to 40% off post office rates, up to 62% off UPS rates. Not to mention, Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stop wasting time and money going to the post office. Go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code PLANT, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone in the top of the homepage, type in PLANT. That's Stamps.com, promo code PLANT. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more. All with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Again, that's 877-ASK-DELL.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Printing you new signs for the times.
Get back to business with custom printed signs and sales materials. Staples has hundreds of designs to choose from, or just upload your own.
And now at Staples, get 15% off signs, posters, or decals when you spend $75 or more.
Some items printed same day when ordered before 2 p.m.
Save big on custom printing at Staples.
Ends 5/29/21. Exclusions apply. Limit one offer per customer. See store associate or visit staples.com/signage for details.
Are you looking for your next real estate investment? Chris Plant here. There are 8 reasons to look at the NRIA Real Estate Development Fund. Monthly cash flow payouts up to 10% annualized with bonuses to 21% targets. They strategically choose low-risk, high-demand neighborhoods that people are moving to. Prime new construction in a sector that's short on supply and high on demand. Diversification and safety from stock market risk. They have a short and long-term strategy for returns today and returns returns down the road. Pandemic hardened specially designed buildings that are open and airy. And they're in their 15th year as an industry leader. If you've been sitting on the sidelines or you want to diversify for safety and cash flow, start your due diligence with NRIA.net or call 800-800-1414. That's 800-800-1414.
An offer of securities is only made by the NRIA Private Placement Memorandum. Read it first. Past performance does not guarantee future results. NRIA is a real estate development firm. Learn more at NRIA.net.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manning Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
Last Tuesday, someone broke into my car and robbed me blind. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, my Vivint Outdoor Camera Pro detected him and scared him away with a light and a whistle. Want peace of mind? Stop crime before it happens with a Vivint system. Vivint, all is well. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. That's 833-420-4070.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Jimmy Kimmel, I think, used to be a comedian. Now he's on late night TV, one of the networks, that, and they're one of the hate nets. And Jimmy Kimmel made fun of the President Trump likeness being repeatedly attacked in San Antonio. First of all, it's terrible sculpture. It's really awful. It's third rate. I'm a better sculptor than the sculptor they have. But based on the pictures that have been released, President Trump is positioned between the waxy dummy of Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un. And Jimmy Kimmel thought this is all very funny. It's what I'm talking about, encouraging the violence and the hate and the stuff, the left, the pop culture, and the networks, because, you know, it's a funny thing. Jimmy Kimmel last night said it was a fun story here involving a previous president. A place called Louis Tussauds Waxworks in San Antonio had to remove its sculpture of Donald Trump because people kept punching it in the face. Every day, someone would punch the wax figure in the face, a smiling Kimmel said. They punched and scratched deep scratches in the face. And he says, and he pointed out, he said they showed a picture, and there's Kim Jong-un on one side and Vladimir Putin, communists, dictators on either side of President Trump, mass murderers and stuff. And he says, Kimmel says, this should tell you something. Look at the other two guys he posed with, Putin and Kim Jong-un. And the one guy getting punched in the face every day? Trump, cackled Kimmel. It's our own guy. And what a likeness. Why he has Heather Locklear's hair, I don't know. He says, anyway, because of all the violent attacks, they had to take the statue down. What a shame. Just fill it with candy and give everyone a bag. See, make it a piñata, which is racist, I think, to make that racist reference. But the reality is today's Democrat Party and the children that we're raising in our culture is, you know, the children are anti-American. The left is anti-American. They're and they see Kim Jong-un to him than they are to Trump, because Trump is pro-American, pro-capitalist, pro-freedom, pro-American sovereignty, all these things that the Democrat Party is against. So it is it's another great moment in Democrat Party political history. This is the culture that we live in today. And the left dominates, of course, the pop culture. So this is what you get. And if it had been Barack Obama, then Kimmel would be the waxy Barack Obama that had been attacked again and again. Then Kimmel would be outraged and be a terrible and racist country and all this stuff. They're not well. These people are not well.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Donnie Smith. The town of Delta was established by the California and Oregon Railroad in 1884 at the confluence of the Sacramento River and Dog Creek. Railroad officials to a temporary railhead terminal laid out a town site and gave it a more dignified name of Delta because of the similarities of the town site terrain and the Greek letter Delta. Reading and Shasta merchants flocked to the area to open stores, believing it would be another red-hot railhead town like Reading. Delta soon thrived, but almost disappeared as fast as it had appeared. What little remained became a stopover for steam engines to take on water for the rest of the climb through the canyon. Delta still exists today as a very small, quiet community. This Moment in History was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this, find Dottie Smith on Amazon or at the Shasta Historical Society.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Zip on
on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more home pets.
Yes. Yeah, Lunch Bucket Joe and Kamala and all this stuff. You know, the Democrats, they're racist. They're racist. The entire party, the whole structure, the construct of the party, all of their policies are based on race. Look at college campuses. Look, Columbia University with their race-based graduation ceremony, the fake fact-checkers at Snopes. Well, it's a mixture. That's half true and half. No, it's 100% true. They're having race-based graduation things. And for everybody except white people, which is racist, obviously, and it's race, class, and gender. And, of course, sexual orientation. The graduations at Columbia University. Barack Obama went to school there, didn't he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Violently, criminally insane, burning, sacking cities across America. And fortunately, they got the media backing them up. So it's mostly peaceful. Their riots are mostly peaceful. And you have one little riot one afternoon, and it's the end of the world. When it's not them. Were they rioting last night in Portland or in Seattle, Michael? And now they're getting ready for more riots. In Derek Chauvin is on trial in the George Floyd death. He's charged with second-degree murder and third-degree murder. And if they don't get the murder charge, if the mob, the Democrat Party, which is a violent mob in the street and in the House and in the Senate, if the violent mob doesn't get their way, then they've already called up the National Guard in Minneapolis because they know that the left is a violent mob and that they will sack and burn the city if they don't get the result that they demand out of the jury. How'd you like to be one of the jurors on this trial? At least one guy got out of jury duty because he said he was afraid for his life and his wife's life and for the safety of his home. And apparently the court accepted that and said, all right, you can go now. I don't know why everybody didn't say that, because everybody's in the same boat. But they love rewriting history, and they love fictionalized accounts of everything they do. And they love self-aggrandizement. They think they're really neat. They're nifty. They're swift. They're smart. But in reality, they lie about almost everything. It's quite remarkable. And I brought in some stories yesterday that I wasn't able to get to because there's too much crazy. But I want to get to that. I want to share a couple of things because there were headlines a couple of days ago that, for example, Deb Haaland, H-A-A-L-A-N-D, becomes first Native American confirmed as cabinet secretary. Everything is about race. There's another one, at least another one. Oh, it's what's his name? The lizard from California, who is going to be a cabinet secretary. And the headline, of course, is that he's the first Hispanic to become the secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. Becerra, Javier Becerra. I think they like Becerra, don't they? Becerra squeaks through vote to become HHS secretary. He's a radical and a hate monger and a racial divider. And he was the attorney general in California. He was a member of the House of Representatives before that. And it's, It is all about his race. The everything becomes first Latino to lead agency at Center of Pandemic Response. Well, does that mean he's just the first one to lead HHS during a pandemic response? Because that's what we're down to now. It's not like he's the first cabinet secretary who's Latino. He's not the first, it goes on and on with all this stuff. But a couple of days ago, they had this big same thing. Everything is about race, class, and gender, which is the Marxist construct, the Marxist analysis. You might have learned this in college because it's what they teach, I think, in college. Deborah Hadlin was a member of the House of Representatives, and now very exciting, according to the news media, and I can show you hundreds of headlines. The first Native American confirmed as cabinet secretary. New Mexico Congresswoman Deb Hadlin made history when the U.S. Senate confirmed her to lead the Interior Department, making her the first Native secretary. CBS News climate and energy reporter. They've got a climate and energy reporter. And I said, well, that's, quasi-interesting, and it's the Department of Energy. And honestly, Native Americans, I think, a little bit different, more underrepresented, if you will, in a lot of ways. And I said, well, is that actually true? So I did something crazy that the, news people don't do, because they're not really news people. They're just Democrats with jobs in television news and in print journalism. And so is that true? So I actually went to check it out. And crazy as it may sound, as unexpected as this may be, it turns out it's not the case. It's not the case at all. And there is, and it gets even better than that, because when I started looking into it, there was a vice president who was Native American. Do you know who that was? Because surely everyone knows that everybody knows this, because it's got to be taught in school, and the news media talks about it all the time. And I will give USA Today a little bit of credit. They did a fact check. It was buried in their paper, and you can find it online. Charles Curtis holds spot as first, another thing too, because the first person of color, right, to be vice president of the United States. I'm going to do two for one here. We're told, and there are hundreds of thousands of headlines all over the world, that none other than Kamala Harris, that's the comma, like the punctuation mark, followed by law. That's the way she explained it on The View. Kamala Harris is the first person of color to be vice president, right? First person of color. Her father was from Jamaica, and her mother from India. And so she is the first person of color to be vice president of the United States of America, right? And that's a big deal, because we're a horrible, terrible, racist country, which is why people from all over the world risk their lives to come here, because it's so awful. Just listen to the Democrats. If everybody really listened to the Democrats and believed them, people wouldn't be rushing our border like there's a free smorgasbord on the other side. But the reality is that the news reporting in both of these instances, untrue. Kamala Harris is not the first person of color to be vice president of the United States, and Deb Haaland is not the first Native American cabinet member. Wow. How can that be? I read it in the paper. They have fact checkers and stuff. Fascinating stuff. Now, I'll get to the USA Today thing, because it's interesting. All right. First person of color to be vice president. And the problem is, it's a party problem. Republican versus Democrat. That's the real problem when it comes to the news media. So the people at USA Today did a fact check, and good for them, January 29th, 2021. And nobody noticed it, nobody saw it, including me, I've got to admit. Charles Curtis holds spot as first person of color as vice president. And Adrienne Dunn at USA Today wrote the story, and it's kind of fascinating. Claim, it's a fact check, claim, colon, they love their colons. Kamala Harris is not the first, POC, they just use POC, because they love to abbreviate everything. It's very exclusionary when you have acronyms and abbreviations for everything. And Kamala Harris is not the first POC to serve as vice president. Honestly, POC, they just use it like everybody says POC. Kamala Harris was sworn in as vice president January 20th, making her the first woman of color to hold the second highest office in the nation. And Harris is the first woman of color, first South Asian American, first black American to be vice president, but she's not the first person of color to hold the office. And then they go on and on, and there's a fascinating thing. Charles Curtis, U.S. vice president, when Herbert Hoover was president from 1929 to 1933, his mother, Native American, and because he is half Native American, Charles Curtis, 1928, Charles Curtis, Native American lawmaker and member of the Kaw Nation, K-A-W, Kaw Nation, was elected as President Herbert Hoover's vice president, highest-ranking enrolled Native American ever to serve in the federal government. Isn't that fascinating, I said to myself. I wanted to take a little bit of a deeper look at Charles Curtis, and he's a fascinating life story, and he was vice president of the United States under Herbert Hoover, and but that's not all. He was also in the United States Senate before that. He was the 31st vice president of the United States from 1929 to 1933. And here's the, what do you think the problem is? He was Senate majority leader from 1924 to 1929 before he became vice president. He was Senate majority whip before that from 1919 to 1924. Now, what's the problem? Why is this guy not a household name? Why does everybody not know what this guy's all about? He was the leader of the Senate Republican Conference. He was all kind of president pro tem of the United States Senate. He was from Kansas, U.S. Senator from Kansas. And he was also in the House of Representatives from Kansas before that. And then he became vice. So he's in the House. He's in the Senate, became majority leader. And the problem, of course, is if you go way down, way, way down, you find that, of course, Herbert Hoover, you find that he's a Republican. And that's the problem. That's the problem that you have is that he's a Republican. So the first person of color to be vice president, the first person of color to be the majority leader of the Senate was a Republican named Charles Curtis. And you're not going to find that pretty much anywhere because the lefties have airbrushed it out of American history. If he were a Democrat, of course, he would be greeted with great praise, and everyone would know it. And if you didn't know it, then you'd be a terrible person. So he and then as has been pointed out here, the vice president of the United States is a member of the cabinet. So he's the first Native American to be a cabinet member, first Native American to be in the I'm not sure if he's the first to be in the Senate, but certainly the Senate Majority Leader, Senate Majority Whip. And Native American, and probably person of color, delete probably, first person of color to be the majority leader, to be the majority whip, to be the vice president, and as vice president, to be a member of the cabinet. But because Herbert Hoover was a Republican and because Charles Curtis was a Republican, you just don't hear a lot about that, do you? No, you don't. Also, it should be noted that the first, because I like bringing this up from time to time, the first African-American to be a member of Congress was Hiram Rhodes Revels. Fascinating story, Hiram Rhodes Revels from Mississippi, and he was United States Senator from 1870 to 1871. He moved on to bigger and better things, a remarkable life story. No movies about him, no big books, but no classes based on him. No speeches from politicians based on Hiram Rhodes Revel, Hiram Revels, because, of course, he is a Republican. He's a black guy. He's African-American. He's not, you know, not light-skinned, mixed race. He's a serious story. Republican senator, a minister, African Methodist Episcopal Church, AME Church, and a college administrator before that. He was born not into slavery, but as a free man in North Carolina. And he's a true, in 1927, by the way, North Carolina, Africa, which was a slave state, 1827, Civil War for Democrats listening along, was 1861 to 1865. And he was born a free man. And it's an amazing story. And then there is a, and he was the first African-American member of Congress, and he was in the Senate. Now, it's a remarkable life story that the left and Hollywood and Democrats like to bury, and academia like to bury, because it doesn't fit the narrative, does it? No, it doesn't. While he was in the Senate, the Democrats were busy building the White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan with their big statewide Democrat leader, Nathan Bedford Forrest. You know, Forrest Gump was named for his ancestor, Nathan Bedford Forrest. That's true. It's part of the movie. And right now there's a Senate office building named for Richard Russell, who was a Democrat from Georgia. He was a segregationist that Joe Biden worked with. He was a racist segregationist Democrat from Georgia. They named a Senate office building after him. Republicans need to demand and pass a bill, change the name of the Russell Senate office building to the Revels Senate office building to honor the first African-American to serve in the Congress and particularly in the Senate. Also, you may remember that the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, made a big deal out of Joe Biden appointing the first openly gay cabinet member in Pete Buttigieg. That's also a lie, because President Donald Trump, you may recall, appointed Rick Grenell as the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, and he was not confirmed by the Senate. So you'll see that, and I'm not sure if that's because the Senate refused to confirm him because he's gay and the Democrats are homophobic, or whether it, you know, the Democrats were in the way of obstructing everything. So they did obstruct everything. Media outlets called out for touting Buttigieg as first openly gay cabinet member, whitewashing Rick Grenell by Brian Flood at the Fox News Channel, but only Fox News talked about it. CNN's Jake Tapper was one of many who used Senate confirmation to dismiss Rick Grenell as the first openly gay cabinet member, again because he was appointed by a Republican president. This is the left. This is the news media. These are the Democrats, but I repeat myself.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Get a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchase by trading up any non-contact thermometer. Accuracy matters when it comes to checking for fever and keeping everyone safe. Unlike non-contact thermometers, Exergen's accuracy is backed by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com.
Maxwell, he was a runaway to rescue, great disposition. About 9 years ago, he was scratching a lot, and he started losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to the chicken. Another vet says, it's the grain. Third vet, she says, it's the weather, something in the air. And then somebody said,
DINOVITE.com.
I have been listening to the Dynavite ads, hearing about different stories of different people, and it just clicked. I got my first 90-day supply, and it took a grand total of 2 weeks. And the dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Dynavite is nutrition.
And Maxwell loves it. Now he's close to 10, and the Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And he's a spectacular dog.
DINOVITE.com.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red-hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Rocket Technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers greater confidence in you. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information, appraisal, and title report. Call for cost information and conditions equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAssets.org, number 3030.
Earn a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchase by trading up non-contact thermometers. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature. Exergen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
Last Tuesday, someone broke into my car and robbed me blind. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, my Vivint Outdoor Camera Pro detected him and scared him away with a light and a whistle. Want peace of mind? Stop crime before it happens with a Vivint system. Vivint, all is well. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. That's 833-420-4070.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
I'm going to have to apologize and beg your forgiveness. I misspoke a couple of minutes ago. Rick Grenell was the director of national intelligence, not the secretary of Department of Homeland Security. Got too many D's, you know, too many D cabinet posts these days. That's your DNI and your DOD and your DHS and your... It was the overreaction to 9/11, expanding the government. It was an opportunity for the government to expand itself. He was then Senate, Rick Grenell, was then Senate confirmed to be President Trump's ambassador to Germany, openly gay and all that. But the first openly gay cabinet member, the fact that the Senate didn't confirm him is something the weasels in the media have. President Biden's pick is the first openly gay Senate-confirmed cabinet pick in Pete Buttigieg. They have to include the words Senate-confirmed, otherwise it's an outright lie. When you do include Senate-confirmed, you're just being a weasel. You know how that goes. All right, sharp-tooth weasel. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Jason calling from Kensington, Maryland. Jason!
Hey, g'day, Chris. How you going, mate?
All right, what do you say?
Actually, I just have a bit of a story about Montgomery County councilwoman or council person, should I say, that was having a Zoom meeting apparently, and they were making fun of her accent, her Spanish dialect in her accent, and they were laughing, and they said it was kind of cute, it was nothing bad, but apparently she never heard it, but then someone informed her of it, and then she was offended because she was offended by something she didn't actually hear, but someone told her about it. And, you know, I have a foreign accent too, but I mean, I can't count the amount of times I've been made fun of the last 28 years, but I kind of don't mind it. I mean, it's just another thing. We make fun of the Yanks when they come out to Australia too. So.
Right. Right. But, so you're saying it was a Montgomery County Council Zoom call meeting. One of the members has a Spanish language accent.
Yeah, I think her name was Nancy Navarro. And she kind of took it the wrong way, I guess. But I mean, if there's any opportunity to kind of call out a racial issue is sort of normal for them. But anyone who's normal, we just would sort of laugh it off and say, hey, you know what? It's just a way of talking. It's a badge of honor, really. But you know, they always sort of think they're getting a rough end of the pineapple, these people. And if any opportunity, you know, to race bait people, it's you know, they're not really worried about it. It's just they just want to make sure that they keep that argument going.
That's right. Yeah, racial division is their thing. Well, you see, Jason, you know the rules of the game. Australians, like yourself, tend to be Caucasian. Therefore, mocking your accent, and it's a great accent, of course. Everybody loves the Australian accent. And so mocking your accent is fair game. Mocking, any white Irish accent, you know, we just hate Paddy's Day.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.